Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Greetings from Florida. Greetings from the Florida Panhandle, where it's definitely becoming springtime again. It's warmer. It's muggy. I thought there was some big bug in my place yesterday, but it turned out to be a leaf. That's a good thing because we have these enormous cockroaches that are like an inch and a half long. They can carry away small children. In fact, I think with the kids, you could probably saddle them up and ride them down the street. That's how big they are. At least they look that big. So that's one thing. So that's definitely an improvement. Daylight saving. I'm still getting messed up with the schedule. And hopefully they will see, Florida's already passed a full-time daylight saving law. And I have friends I've talked to, they would rather just, one friend wants to stay, standard time, and another one wants permanent daylight saving. I like permanent daylight saving. I like the extra hour of sunshine. I like the extra, I like the extra daylight for obvious reasons, that it's more fun. Of course, nighttime is fun too, especially if you're a rock and roller and, like to go around and see how people behave at night, which, of course, is different. Speaking of night, it's fascinating working with Jen Clark in Australia on this Australian Bill of Rights. We had our first interview yesterday, and I'm not too pleased with myself. I think one of the problems with being a host is you don't necessarily make being a great guest. So I said that's another skill I have to work on, is being a guest as well as being a host. See, this is easy for me. Being a host is easy. I'm used to that. I get to talk. I get to say what I want. There's no boss, and being on other people's shows, I'm going to have to learn how to do that. That's kind of an interesting skill. Anyway, the other problem, of course, is that the hours in Australia, in Melbourne right now, is 16 hours ahead. So 6 o'clock my time central is 10 o'clock their time tomorrow night. tonight, actually. No, so there we go. 16 hours ahead, yeah. So it's 10 o'clock tonight in Australia, 6 o'clock in the morning here. So when Jen calls here, she's wide awake till like 11, 12, 1 o'clock, and she actually has it worse than I do. I was up last night for an interview at 9, and then we talked for a couple more hours after the interview, working on more things, finalizing our first revision, our final first revision of the Australian Bill of Rights, and that will be able to be shared fairly soon in Australia first, and then when it's okay, I'll be sharing it with you guys here too. So that's kind of cool. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would have any part of writing something so monumental as a Bill of Rights for an entire nation. And so working, being a part of that is really exciting. That's kind of cool. That's first thing. Second thing that's going on that's really amazing as well. And funny thing, this hasn't been national news, but it is in the New York Post, one of my favorite sources, that Governor DeSantis declared the real winner of the NCAA swim meet to be the woman, the woman that came in after the dude. And so she's the actual winner because it was, after all, a women's swimming event. And so it only makes sense to have a woman be declared the winner. So DeSantis declares the winner. I forgot the article. I'm going to have to go over the article. It's kind of cool. I got it here somewhere. That's not it. Where did I put it? I got inflation stuff. I got agricultural subsidies. I got all these different things here just in case I want to go with them. Ah, here we go. And so this is, so I can get the names right. I'm not going to call the dude swimmer by the chick name, because I want to call him by the dude name. So this is from yesterday, Joshua Rhett Miller. Ron DeSantis says Florida native beat transgender swimmer dude named Thomas at NCAA championships. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issued a proclamation Tuesday, that would be yesterday, when I was getting ready for an interview in Australia. Well, I didn't actually go to Australia. I mean, I think that's some smart something or other. It's some new form of video, but it's really great. So I just sit here on my computer and I talk to the world. Technology is amazing. Anyway, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis issues a proclamation Tuesday that declared the runner-up rightful winner. The runner-up is the rightful winner of the 500-yard freestyle competition instead of transgender dude named Thomas. The Republican governor named University of Virginia freshman Emma Weyant, as the champion after she was defeated after the dude came ahead of her. And this is the NCAA swimming competition Thursday. Now, why do they call it freestyle? The stroke is actually the Australian crawl. It's called the crawl. It's always been the Australian crawl. I don't know why we've dumped Australian credit out of it and called it freestyle. It's not freestyle at all. Freestyle would be any style you want. It's not. It's the crawl. That's what it is. That's the name of the show. And so I just always find that amusing too. Anyway, so the quote is, by allowing men to compete in women's sports, the NCAA is destroying opportunities for women, making a mockery of its championships, and perpetuating a fraud. And that's from Ron DeSantis in a Twitter tweet. In Florida, we reject these lies and recognize Sarasota's Emma Wyant as the best women's swimmer in the 500-yard freestyle. Proclamation states that Wyant is the rightful winner and congratulates her on the significant achievement. This is cool. You know, and here's the thing, though, about Dude Thomas. Dude Thomas looks like a dude with long hair. He sounds like a dude. You know, he's like, you know, got the shoulders of a dude. He's a dude. I don't care what kind of chemicals and surgically altering, if you had that at all. I mean, who knows? He's a dude. And just because you identify, you know, as I said, you know, if you identify as someone different than who you are, that's your problem. You know, if we let people identify as different than who they are, that's our problem. I forget where I wrote that. I wrote that somewhere. Anyway, but that's how I feel about this, is very simply, that you are your biology. You know, just because you identify as something else doesn't mean you are something else. You are what you are, and what you identify with, again, that's your mental issue. And I don't care. I'd love to identify as Bill Gates, and you know, give me and have a credit card issued under Bill Gates, right? Because that's who I identify as, right? Then I can go buy myself a jet, you know, a nice 1961 Corvette convertible. And who would challenge me? I would say, well, wait a minute. This is how I identify. You can't tell me I can't identify that way, right? If some dude can say he's a chick and go swim in a competition, then I can say I'm Bill Gates and I want to buy a jet with a credit card. Give me a gold card. Give me a platinum card. Let me put down a deposit on a Learjet. No, not a deposit. I'm going to charge the whole thing. If I'm Bill Gates, I can afford it, right? So that's how I identify. So I'll identify as Bill Gates. I'll take my platinum card down to the nearest FBO or fixed based operator that has one of the older Learjets, which are, you know, really noisy and powerful. Not the oldest ones. The oldest ones aren't legal anymore because they were too loud, but they're really cool. They fly like a fighter plane, which is of course my interest in it. So I'm going to put my money down on the Learjet, get one of like the 1960s, you know, with the big engines and like three seats. You know, I don't need more than two anyway. You know, really, it's just going to be me and maybe a co-pilot or you know, a friend up front. I'll get one that I can fly single pilot. You know, put a whole glass cockpit in it, right? And if I'm Bill Gates, I can afford this, right? So I'll just take my platinum card down to my local aircraft sales place, you know, put down, you know, buy a Learjet and hire an instructor to teach me how to fly it, and off we go. Why not? That's how I identify. I mean, who's to tell me I'm not? So I think everybody should identify as somebody, you know, rich and powerful and, you know, get a credit card in their name. That would stop this nonsense real fast, especially by the people who you identified as. Back to the article here. It says DeSantis spoke out against Thomas at an unrelated news conference. Well, it became related in Wesley Chapel, and that's a Miami Herald reported. He says we need to stop allowing organizations like the NCAA to perpetuate frauds on the public. And that's exactly what they're doing. Thomas, who swam for 3 years at Penn as a male prior to transitioning. Transitioning doesn't mean changing, folks. Okay, you can transition to anything you want. If you start off as a dude, you're still a dude, okay? Has been a frequent target for critics who question the fairness of an athlete who was born male competing against women. I'm not going to say biological male because obviously, you know, you're born biologically something. You're born male or female, okay? That's the way it goes. Those are your options. I don't care what you identify as. You can identify as a caterpillar for all I care. You're still born male or female. That's the way it goes. Although I don't know if caterpillars are born male or female, but that's not my problem. It's your problem for identifying as one. See? See how this works? All right. NCAA made new regulations regarding transgender athletes earlier this season, and eligibility requirements are now left up to individual sports, who are so cowardly, this is my addition, so cowardly, but go with whatever the left says, because they're afraid to be banned, you know, or censored or thought evil of or being called, you know, racist, sexist, homophobic, or any of the other terms from the, how did Josie put it? The LGBTQ PMS crowd. I'm sorry, I think that's funny. Political correctness is not one of my strengths. So if you don't like that, just, you know, get over it. Article says still that hasn't stopped critics like DeSantis and Virginia Tech. Oh, wait a minute. The NCAA, here we go. I skipped a paragraph. I'm sorry. Made new regulations regarding transgender athletes earlier this season, and eligibility requirements are now left up to individual sports. Thomas has been allowed to compete this season because he, not she, they say she, I say he, had been taking testosterone suppression treatment for more than a year. So that's what makes you a chick? Is this how this works? So some dude, you know, suppresses his testosterone, you know, overweight will do that, you know, sitting in, doing a boring job, that'll suppress your testosterone. Being in a bad marriage, that really will suppress your testosterone. there's probably a bunch of ways to suppress your testosterone that have nothing to do with testosterone suppression treatment. Okay, get older. There's another one. You know, be over 70. I'm sure that suppresses your testosterone too, but I don't see anybody, you know, changing their gender over it. This is funny. I'm sorry, don't mind me. So has he been surgically altered? Well, I mean, this goes back to my other point that if Mr. Thomas, or is it Thompson? Thomas, there we go. If Mr. Dude Thomas wants to compete in the women's swim team, he needs to wear a bikini. Okay, that might gross some of you out. I'm sorry. Like I say, I don't know if he's been surgically altered, shall we say. I'm not sure how much this testosterone suppression actually does. But if you want to be a chick, then wear a bikini. You know, if you're a dude and you want to be a chick, wear a bikini. You know, we'll know. We'll know real fast. I'm having way too much fun. This is what happens when I stay up late talking to Australia. Right? Anyway, so still that hasn't stopped critics like DeSantis and Virginia Tech swimmer who failed to get into the 500-yard freestyle event after Thomas the Dude dominated the qualifying race, you know, as far as I'm concerned, illegally. Last quote here. It says, it doesn't promote our sport in a good way, and I think it's disrespectful against the biologically female swimmers. In other words, the female swimmers who are competing in the NCAA. Virginia Tech's Reka Gyorgi. Reka Gyorgi reportedly wrote on her private Instagram account. She's probably censored for that. Gyorgi says, added that while she supports and respects Thomas, I don't. Citing her intense practice regimen, like other collegiate swimmers, she faulted the NCAA. Yeah, what the hell's the NCAA problem? Why are you kowtowing to leftists? What kind of ridiculous, you know, program is it where some dude, you know, takes testosterone suppressants so that he can win women's swim competitions? You know, well, actually, in a way, I feel sorry for him because I have a feeling those testosterone suppressants are not going to do well for him, you know, in the long run. You know, if you want, especially be fascinating if after the swim events are over, he goes back to being a dude again, you know, without the testosterone suppressants. So in other words, he does this to get the championships, then he goes back. We're in strange times. We're in very strange times. So let me play something real quick here, and then we'll get to the two parts of the show today. Actually, it's three parts. Chancey Terry with Wine, Weed, and Wellness has the third hour. And we'll see how long she can stay. Usually she can't stay the whole hour, but because, you know, people are busy. I understand that. But I got a kind of a treat for you. And so this weekend I edited one of my favorite shows from the WWYs, and that was where we actually wrote a bill on the air. So I did it kind of in reverse order. I think last week I played you the Matt Gaetz interview where we talked about the bill that we wrote on the air. And I thought, you know what? I really should edit down the episode where we actually write the bill on the air, so you can hear how that works. And again, I was let go from WBY, you know, very shortly after. In fact, the next week, right after my last guest, Ron DeSantis, was on the show. 15 minutes later, I was off the show. It's kind of interesting. But the thing was that we did so much good work there, so much incredible work, and I'm really proud of the work we did, and that's why I don't mind sharing that with you now. So I've edited out the commercials and maybe some of the WEBY stuff. But remember that this was Action Radio. This was my show. And that station no longer exists, so I have no problem playing episodes from that show. I'm not going to play anybody else's from that show, but I'll play my show, my interviews. And in this case, the very first time, I think, ever that a bill that was submitted to a sitting member of Congress, you know, being Matt Gaetz, I think this is the first time such a bill was ever written on the air. And so I want to let you hear how that's done so that you can use that as a model for future bills that we write on the air. All right, so that's how that works. The other thing is to talk about the COVID-HIV connection, and that's what we're going to do the rest of this first hour. And so I've got a couple of articles on that we'll kind of plow through. If you want to join me and plow through them with me, you're welcome to at 215-383-3832. And I promise I'll actually check the live chat today. I've been I am still without producer. And so there's certain things that I forget to get to. And one of those is the live chat. So I will get to the live chat. If you want to type in a message from anywhere in the world, feel free. If you want to call us from anywhere in the world, we do have a Skype line. And so you can look on our regular broadcast page, and the Skype line will be there. Email is greg@writeyourlaws.com. Our legislative website is writeyourlaws.com. And so that's the place to go for that. All right, so let me play you a couple things real quickly here, and we'll be right back. And I have a couple of, I think, interesting articles for you. And we shall plow into this whole idea that COVID, you know, the engineered COVID also has engineered HIV in it that leads to AIDS, and it also, and the snake oil jab what some people are euphemistically calling a vaccine, which it isn't. It also has the HIV in it as well, the purpose of which is to destroy your immune system to make you permanently dependent on vaccines for your life. And it's the ultimate marketing tool, you know, buy this or die. That's what Big Pharma wants. Big Pharma wants you in a position where you have to buy what they have at a ridiculous price or die, or have taxpayers pay for it. So it's the ultimate extortion, fascist, government corporate monopoly. Anyway, be right back.
Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com.
This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. It contains caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, and potassium. You make your energy drink yourself. Here's how. Add one pack to a standard half-liter water bottle or 16-ounce glass to create a full-power energy drink. No sugar, no calories, no stirring, no shaking. Strike Force energy drinks come in original, grape, lemon, and orange. Each flavor pack is a liquid that adds an explosion of flavor to any beverage. Here's the best part. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout. That's WYL. WYL comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, get a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strike Force is at StrikeForceEnergy.com. That's StrikeForceEnergy.com. Start your engines. Oh, that's so much fun. All right, I got to. That one might be a little quiet. I'll have to check the volume. So I'm still trying to get the digital meter so I know exactly the strength of all these things. Anyway, if we're going to do news, let's get a news theme. Well, that sounds impressive. Boy, now we're like a real news show, aren't we? Yeah, this is cool. Greg Penglis here reporting for Action Radio. Let's get down to the newsroom and see what's on the wire. Anyone, those tearing sounds? You know, like we're actually tearing it. That's what they used to do. So the teletype would be in the newsroom, and they would get a couple of wire service because AP and Reuters and all these different news services would actually send stuff out, and you'd have to read it and tear it off and get it to the host, and they would, you know, read it on the air and that kind of stuff. Nowadays, of course, everything's on computer. You don't have to do that, but I still like the sound effects because I like mechanical things. All right. So we've talked about this before. Dr. Judy Mikovits talked about this before. She's the one that really introduced us to the fact that COVID has HIV. HIV is human immunodeficiency virus. It's a virus that lowers your immune system. In many cases, destroys your immune system, and it makes you susceptible to all kinds of really horrible things. I remember sarcoma is one of the cancers. And of course I asked the question, and of course, you know, Dr. Fascist is heavily involved with this. That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, you know, so Dr. Fascist, if you're listening, if you get this and you know, you want to come after me, just make sure you spell my name right. Cause nobody does. They just never do. I don't know why. But Dr. Fascist, the genocidal, psychopathic, narcissistic, avaricious, compulsively lying, vaccine drug pusher, you know, from the NIAID, you know, the folks that own patents to the very things that they regulate and sell to you, which is kind of interesting too. And in fact, they were fighting over profits with Moderna not too long ago. So Dr. Judy Mikovits, one of my heroes, talked about, this is early on, we're like, I didn't know that, how HIV has kind of been engineered into the SARS-CoV-2, the COVID virus, and also has been engineered into the snake oil jab that people are calling a vaccine, which is really a genetically altering device and leads to a whole discussion that I have to do more research on of being, quote, transhuman. So you're not human anymore. You're part machine. It's like the Borg. It's like, remember cyborgs? Okay. So the Borg on Star Trek The Next Generation, when they weren't busy being politically correct, actually had this collective. It's basically the communist collective is what it was. And resistance is futile. You know, that's what the left will tell you. Resistance is futile. You know, so you join the collective and everybody is part of the collective and there are no individuals and everybody is the same and everybody thinks the same thoughts, does the same things, and the whole thing operates as a collective. Well, that's great on Star Trek, but of course, in real life, we know how collectives work and we can name them. You know, Russia, China, Venezuela, you know, Cambodia, Uganda, you know, any of these nations with a dictator and then a mass genocide. You know, proves that the Borg theory doesn't work. All right. Oh, speaking of which, we have a couple of new folks. I have to post this on Facebook too. Haiti is listening to us, so that's a good thing. And Kenya is back listening to us too. So Obama's family, we just want to say hi. Let's give a shout out to all the Obamas in Kenya, and of course, birthplace. I'm guessing because that's what they say. You know, of the president that probably wasn't legally actually a president, and that would be Barack Hussein Obama. But I digress. Let's talk about this article I found, Scientific Evidence, not Scientific American. Don't get confused. I don't think Scientific American would have the guts to publish this. And I actually did post this on Facebook, which means they haven't found it yet. It hasn't quite reached their algorithm. So it's interesting sometimes what you can sneak on Facebook. But here's the report. And this is from Scientific Evidence, March 21st, 2022. So we're talking 2 days ago. And it says alarming report explains the link between COVID-19, the COVID vaccine, which I'm calling the snake oil jab, HIV and AIDS. And so let's go and let's see if we've got see if we have an author. I don't see an author's name. Let's look at the bottom for the byline. Actually, there's several articles here, so let me just get into it. But it's from the website is Adverse Reaction Report. So if you want to find it, go to Adverse Reaction Report. Look up alarming report explains the link between COVID-19, the COVID vaccine, HIV and AIDS. And it was published originally in Scientific Evidence and it was updated March 21st, 2 days ago. Okay. So it's an interesting graphic at the top. It says, yes, there is. And what they're referring to is the fact checker claim, which says there is no link between HIV or AIDS and the COVID-19 vaccines, fact checkers say. And of course, there's a big red word that says false. And where it says there is no link between, there's big red writing which says yes there is. so this is fact checking the liars in the fact check bureau, and so it's, then it says spread the love. It has like virtually every social media site known to man. So the article says we know that when fact checkers say something, they say they sometimes are covering something up, but what? This article attempts to organize what I know so that we could avoid misspeaking when talking about complicated matters. HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, is an RNA-based blood-borne virus. So fascinating that the snake oil jab is also a messenger RNA thing. Oh, see, the mess with the RNA, mess with the DNA, there's always a connection here. Okay, so HIV is an RNA-based blood-borne virus transmitted via sex or shared needles. This virus is associated with, well, actually, it's homosexual sex, generally not heterosexual sex. That was one of the big lies that came out, because the big lie from Dr. Fascist and a lot of folks was this will get into the heterosexual community and millions of straight people will die of AIDS, and that didn't happen. It really is predominantly in the homosexual community and those that share needles. So anything that can get into your blood system, what we're talking about. And I speculated, and I don't know, I got to check the dates on this, but when Dr. Fascist was promoting AZT, which didn't work all that well, it was extremely expensive though, which is why he promoted it, because he made money on it. Freddie Mercury, one of my favorite musicians from Queen, the singer and then lead singer of Queen, died of AIDS. And my question is, something we need to speculate on, did the suppression of a drug that these New York doctors found help cause the death of Freddie Mercury? That would be an interesting scandal that would hopefully bring down Dr. Fascist. But we don't know yet. I mean, I still have to, you know, if you check the dates, you know, I don't know if he was given AZT or what, but I'm thinking that the timeline matches up. that Freddie Mercury of Queen died about the time that Dr. Fascist was promoting AZT and over this other drug in New York. Starts with a B. I keep forgetting the name of it, but we'll look it up. I'll probably look it up when I play Santa Rosa Volunteers piece and tell you exactly what that was. The other thing that we're speculating too, and again, we have no proof, but circumstantial evidence seems to be mounting up that Brian Sicknick, the Capitol Hill police officer that died shortly after January 6th of two blood clots causing two strokes, may very well have died of the snake oil jab also, simply because the snake oil jab causes blood clots. And so a normally healthy person that suddenly gets two blood clots and dies of a stroke will be very suspicious unless you realize that those are the symptoms and injuries and deaths that are caused by the snake oil jab. So there you go. Back to the article. HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, is an RNA-based bloodborne virus transmitted via sex or shared needles. This virus is associated with a disease called AIDS, which is acquired deficiency syndrome. Sufferers of the syndrome have their immune systems, quote, turned off in a way and suffer from never-ending infections or rare and aggressive cancers that are not stopped by a healthy immune system. I think that's misspeak there a little bit, he's trying to say these things would normally be stopped by a healthy immune system, but they're not stopped because your immune system is turned off. That's probably the best way to explain it. Article says SARS-CoV-2 is an RNA-based virus. Well, there we go. See, everything's RNA-based. This is, RNA is the instructions to tell your DNA what to do. That's what a virus is. A virus is an RNA thing. It's instructions for your cell to make more of the virus. That's how it works. SARS-CoV-2, back to the article, is an RNA-based virus that causes COVID-19. SARS-CoV-2 is not the same as HIV, as the HIV virus, but, and we have C below. So there's more stuff, so we'll get to whatever that is down below. Now here's a term I don't know. VAIDS, which is V-A-I-D-S, which is AIDS with a V. VAIDS is a colloquial term, not yet a scientific term, accepted in official science, referring to immune problems due to COVID vaccine. And it is not the same as AIDS caused by the HIV, in other words, the human immunodeficiency virus. So VAIDS, I don't know if you, have you heard the term VAIDS before? V-A-I-D-S, VAIDS, which is not a scientific term, not official yet, referring to immune problems due to the COVID vaccine. Fascinating. Back to the article. The origins of the SARS-CoV-2 are murky. No, they're not. Dr. Fascist, North Carolina, Peter Barrick, Wuhan Lab, possible labs in Ukraine. I don't think it's murky at all. I mean, we don't know the exact source, but I think we've pretty much narrowed it down. All right. Article says SARS-CoV-2 does seem to be a product of lab work. Yeah. With a high degree of likelihood. Yeah, it's certainly a product of lab work. In fact, I think the vaccine was engineered years before. So they had the vaccine they started working with SARS-CoV-1 in 2005. That's when hydroxychloroquine was discovered to cure SARS-CoV-1. Dr. Fascist knew it then in 2005. 2010, Moderna's formed, and that's when they started working on the vaccine. They had the vaccine by 2015, and then they started working on the virus, SARS-CoV-2, and released it in 2019. That's why it's called COVID-19, because it was released in 2019, even though most of the effect was in 2020. All right, back to the article. This article is not the place to defend this opinion about the origins. I would just state it and as something I find to be highly likely and leave it at that. He says, if you want me to write the author says, if you want me to write a summary of why I believe that SARS-CoV-2 is a lab virus, I would be glad to do so. This summary could be as long as this article and would still be incomplete. Yeah, this is a long article too, which is why, I like having the time to do these things. Article says SARS-CoV-2 contains several artificial themes, interesting choice of words, that were not part of natural coronaviruses before and which gave it, quote, fitness to proliferate around the world and kill so many people. That's what we call gain of function, folks, all right, just if you want a different term than fitness. The article says, leaving other genetic additions aside, let me mention that SARS-CoV-2 contains so-called HIV motifs. Well, that's like themes. What is this, an opera? HIV motifs. That is, genetic sequences lifted off the HIV virus that somehow made it into the SARS-CoV-2 virus in a suspiciously unnatural fashion. That's another way of saying that Dr. Fascist and the Wuhan lab and the Chinese, took some HIV virus, combined it with the SARS-CoV-2 virus in a lab, and that's why this thing is as deadly as it is, and why, this is why all of us, basically got COVID. So everybody's had COVID. Why? Because our immune system had never seen anything like it before. No one's had. But fortunately, 99.9, you know, percent of us, it might give you up to moderate symptoms, but most people are okay. And those that aren't, if you actually make it to the hospital, which is the biggest mistake you can make with COVID, then you're put on the remdesivir death, you know, a ventilator death march. And that's just something really horrible. All right. Let's go back to, I said that. Okay, here we go. I love this line, though. It says that genetic sequences lifted off the HIV virus that somehow made it into the SARS-CoV-2 virus, you know, in a suspiciously unnatural fashion. That's great language. Right? Anyway, this is one of the motifs is called GP120. It is discussed in the article titled Uncanny Similarity of Unique Inserts in the 2019 COVE spike protein to HIV-1, GP120, and GAG. I'm not sure what GAG is. It says this article was clearly referring to correct genetic sequences, but was later withdrawn under pressure without a clear reason. I can say what the reason was, because it was accurate, because it was right, and because Dr. Fascist and the other health Nazis, you know, in the FDA and in Big Pharma didn't want people to know that there was HIV in their COVID. Okay, they still don't want you to know that, which is why I'm talking about it. Back to the article. This article was clearly referring to correct genetic sequences, but was later withdrawn under pressure for a clear reason. Okay, it says search DuckDuckGo COVID uncanny motifs withdrawn. So feel free to search that. I'm going to search that too. I'll probably do that tomorrow. GP120 is a genetic sequence that is expressed into the spike protein of the COVID virus. And we all know what the spike proteins are, right? Those are the things on the outside of the virus that break off and, you know, cause your heart attacks and strokes and, you know, cross the blood-brain and do all those nasty things that they do and shed to other people who aren't, who haven't received the snake oil jab and make them sick too. That's why you take your quercetin, your ivermectin, your hydroxychloroquine, and your vitamin D3, C, and zinc so that you don't get affected by these spike proteins that the vax injured are shedding. Back to the article. To those who might think that this is a random occurrence, here's an annotated image about earlier work by the luminary of coronavirus research, Ralph Barrick of the University of North Carolina. God, I sound like a used car salesman. Apparently, even back in 2018, Ralph Barrick was messing around, adding HIV sequences to recombinant derivatives of the SARS-CoV-1, that's the old SARS, virus or its spikes. Ring a bell? The article is here, so you can click on it once you find the source that I'm reading from right now. I'll probably have that tomorrow, too. Ralph Barrick is a name you should remember, as he is likely one of the central figures in the emergence of SARS-CoV-2. He's a scientist at the University of North Carolina who always worked in live attenuated, I'll have to look up the definition of that, vaccines and coronaviruses. Oh, gee, what a freaking surprise. Okay, because I haven't heard much from him lately because, for obvious reasons, right? Note that the sequence discussed in that article may not be the same as GP120. Nevertheless, it shows that such work of inserting HIV sequences into coronaviruses was done in the past by credible researchers. And then it says, here's a Reuters fact check that, if read critically, actually goes along the lines of what I wrote. It says, we do not know who or how decided to insert HIV's GP120 into SARS-CoV-2's spike protein code. Well, we can find out. Actually, we need to find out who, and we need to find out how. All right. The article says, what I'm showing is that putting HIV sequences into coronaviruses is not completely out of character for coronavirus research and was done previously and published. Well, that's interesting. So they justified their you know, medical tyranny or the upcoming medical holocaust. Well, that's interesting. Okay, fine. And then it says, so it is not at all outlandish to presume that adding GP120 to SARS-CoV-2 was done intentionally. Duh. Of course it was done intentionally. Anyway, article says, similar, the GP41 motif was also lifted off HIV and inserted into SARS-CoV-2. So now you've got two HIV motifs. Okay, as we develop our theme as the opera continues. Until the fat lady sings. All right, both messenger RNA, this is the article, both messenger RNA, Pfizer, 162B2 and Moderna 1273, encode the exact spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus with two minor proline mutations to stabilize free-floating S-protein molecules and prevent their cleaving. I have no idea what that means, but I think cleaving means dividing. I'm not sure what the S-protein molecules are, but if Pfizer and Moderna are encoding the exact spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, it doesn't sound good. With two minor proline mutations, we've got a problem. Okay, anyway, Article says, thus, every COVID-infected person and every lucky recipient of two doses of COVID vaccine and booster. Lucky recipient? I think they're being sarcastic. Let me try that again. Thus, every COVID-infected person and every, quote, lucky recipient of two doses of COVID vaccine and booster shots is also a recipient of HIV motifs, GP120 and GP41. Yeah, it is sarcastic. Likely copied into SARS-CoV-2 by whoever designed it. There you go. Let me say that again. Every COVID-infected person and every, I'm just going to say recipient of two doses of COVID vaccine and booster shots is also the recipient of HIV motifs, GP1 and GP41. So you get two strains of HIV in your COVID shot and, in fact, COVID itself. So everybody that's had COVID has also been infected with HIV, which is interesting that those of us with an immune system who got over COVID probably got over HIV too. It's an interesting irony that maybe we are more resistant to HIV than we would have been had we not gotten COVID. I think I'm sure I had COVID way back in the beginning of 2020 before we knew what it was. That cough that wouldn't go away, my shows that sounded horrible for like 3 weeks. You know, I couldn't sleep. I had to sleep sitting up, and I barely got any sleep, and I sounded terrible. Yeah, it sounds like COVID. Right? I had all the symptoms, although I kept my taste and smell. I don't remember ever losing that, but it affects everybody differently. But had I known that I had this new disease called COVID, this new virus, and it was stacked with HIV, I think I would have been a lot more upset than I was at the time. I thought I was just sick. I didn't know I was being, you know, bodily sabotaged by the new medical holocaust of the fascist combination of government and big pharma. But now we know. All right. Let me continue on here with my article. We're around here a little bit. Okay. Which event, COVID infection or vaccination, produces more spike protein is not something I know. It's interesting. Which event, let me say that again, which event, COVID infection or vaccination, produces more spike protein is not something I know, but I am sure that this is highly variable depending on COVID viral load and vaccine injection technique. And then we have this thing that says, astute reader Moritz found something. The range of spike antigen concentrations in the blood of vaccines at this early time point largely overlaps with the range of spike antigen concentrations reported in plasma in a study of acute infection. And plasma would be blood. All right. So, article says, COVID vax gives us about as much spike protein as COVID infection, and the vaccines already had three doses of that. Wow. So in other words, what is the cumulative effect? If you have COVID, which I think everybody has, and you get the vaccine, you know, the snake oil jab with even more HIV, you know, than the infection itself, how much HIV is in your system? I mean, that's a scary thought. I mean, I have friends that have had the jab, and I'm looking at them, I'm thinking to myself, they've got HIV in their system. You know, I probably do too, because I think I had COVID. In fact, everybody, I think, has had COVID. So I think everybody in the world, you know, that's been exposed to this now has some HIV in them. Okay. Scary. But obviously we're not immune deficient. Otherwise we'd have real problems. So in a way, it's like a vaccination for HIV that we're able to, suppress it with our immune system. And that's the whole point of a vaccine, that it gives you enough of something, but not so much to make you sick, but enough that your body can create antibodies and recognize it next time it comes. So the time for your body to get the immune system in gear is a lot shorter, having already had the memory of whatever it was that it's forming an immunity against. Anyway, back to the article. The worst part of this is that COVID infection usually goes away in a week, but spike protein production in vaccines continues for 60 days, exposing vaccinated people to much more spike protein damage. So there you go. Coronaviruses all have spike proteins, okay? Colds, flu, all that kind of stuff, all those, you know, infections, all those viruses are coronaviruses because they have spike proteins on the outside. That's what makes it a coronavirus, is defined by the spike proteins on the outside, okay? So COVID infection goes away in a week, but spike protein, you know, because they're injected directly into your body as opposed to coming in through your nose or mouth or anywhere else, you know, it's 60 days. Well, 60 days is 2 months. That's a whole lot longer than a week. Article says another study shows that messenger RNA exosomes, no idea what they are, were found 4 months after vaccination. Both studies only looked at 60 days and 4 months respectively, so it might be there longer. Article says it's not clear to me what exact effect do these two HIV motifs, GP120 and GP41, have on the outcome of SARS-CoV-2 or the side effects of COVID vaccines and how they are related to damage from COVID. I would like more feedback on this from my readers, and we'll update this section. So I'm going to keep referring. I'm going to check back with this website here, which is pretty cool, Adverse Reaction. And so we'll take a look at that and probably add it to you know, my Facebook, well, it's already on my Facebook page, which is great, but it's friends only because, you know, I have too many trolls trying to cancel me here. Here's the bold print. However, I have shown that the link between HIV, SARS-CoV-2, and COVID vaccines does exist. Let me say that again. The link between HIV, SARS-CoV-2, and COVID vaccines does exist via HIV motifs inserted into SARS-CoV-2 spike protein code. If you're going to take away nothing else from the show, take that away. Okay. Some people like, she's got a video here with Dr. Richard Fleming. That's a 4-hour video. I'm about, an hour into it. I have a lot more to watch, but there's a 4-hour video in this article. And so you'll have a fascinating time watching that. Next little section says the effect of spike protein on immunity. HIV discoverer and Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier mysteriously died recently. Let me say that again. Too fast. HIV discoverer and Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier mysteriously died recently. Someone added HIV sequences on top of a bat virus. And so you can see this guy here. It says the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 virus or the COVID vaccines is one of the most bioactive and potentially damaging substances known. It is known to penetrate the blood-brain barrier, cell nucleus, and affect DNA replication. It is very immunogenic. Well, if you can go through all those things that they said it couldn't do, if you get the jab, you're going to have spike proteins crossing your blood-brain barrier, your cell nucleus. That's the inner part of the cell. That's the actual genetic material, and affect DNA replication. So you will no longer be who you were. If you take the jab, you will no longer be who you were. You will be biologically altered as all of your DNA replicates differently because of the messenger RNA instructions in the snake oil jab. I want you to think about that. In fact, I got a PSA I'll play for you in a minute for all the reasons not to jab. Article says spike protein seems to reprogram immune systems in a strange way. The BNT162b2 mRNA vaccine against SARS-CoV-2 reprograms both adaptive and innate immune responses. Let me say that again. The vaccine against SARS-CoV-2 reprograms both adaptive and innate immune responses. Adaptive are the ones you adapt to the new virus. Innate, I guess that means the ones that you naturally have already. Number two, when penetrating cell nuclei, free-floating spike protein inhibits DNA damage repair. So you can't fix your DNA either. So this messenger RNA stops your DNA from fixing itself so that it starts making the correct cell, the next cell replicating cells according to your actual DNA, not the damaged DNA from the jab, okay? SARS-CoV-2 spike impairs DNA damage repair and inhibits recombination in vitro. The mechanisms described here, and this is in the video, are used both in formation of immune memory of any future illness, as well as preventing DNA mutations leading to cancer, okay? So this is why folks with the jab are having cancer spikes, because their immune system is turned off, because part of the jab is HIV, which destroys your immune system, which goes to the overall theory that the whole point of the jab is to destroy your immune system and make you chemically dependent on big pharma for endless vaccines just so you can live. That's why they do it. They're not trying to kill everybody. They're trying to destroy your immune system. They don't care how many people there are as long as they're all dependent on their vaccines. That's how this works. Well, that is the real plot. That is what I think is really behind all this. Article says, I would like to add more to this. I think that I forgot something. So if you know something, say something. Here we go. Immune system problems in the vaccinated. Next section of the article. It is becoming apparent that vaccinated persons upon breakthrough infection with COVID do not, and that's in big capital letters, not develop broad natural immunity and instead produce more S antibodies against the spike protein that they were originally vaccinated with. Translate that in English. When you get the jab, your body does not, in your immune system is not enhanced. Your immune system is not, you know, triggered to go full force. The only thing that's triggered because of the vaccine are the specific S antibodies, whatever they are, that you're originally vaccinated with. So in other words, the vaccine blocks your immune system except for one particular series of S antibodies, and that's what they're saying. Well, look what the vaccine does. The FDA and the NIH and the other liars said, oh, this is a wonderful thing. Right? This is great. Look what it does. It stops all this stuff. Well, it doesn't stop everything. It just stops, the one particular thing that you're, quote, vaccinated for. All right. It says, for instance, this is back to the article. The week 42 vaccine surveillance report published by the UK HSA, that'd be the United Kingdom Health Services Administration, I guess, states the following. recent observations from the UK Health Security Agency, there you go, UK HSA, surveillance data that N antibody levels appear to be lower in individuals who acquire infection following two doses of vaccination. Okay. Recent observations from the UK Health Security Agency, surveillance data. Now I just said that. All right, good. They wrote it again. What this means, the article says, is that COVID-19 vaccines interfere with the immune system ability to produce antibodies against other pieces, of the SARS-CoV-2 virus following infection. So let me translate that too, because this is really critical. What this means is that the COVID-19, I'm just going to read the article part again. The COVID-19 vaccines interfere with the immune system's ability to produce antibodies against other pieces of the SARS-CoV-2 virus following infection. In the case of the N antibody, this is against the nucleocapsid protein, which is the shell of the virus and a crucial part of the immune system response in the unvaccinated population. Okay, so as I understand it, and this is from Dr. Judy Mikovits too, your natural immunity attacks the entire virus. It attacks the lipid protein shell. It attacks the DNA material inside. It attacks every part of the virus. However, if you have a snake oil jab, euphemistically called a vaccine, it doesn't work that way. Your immune system is able to go after one thing and one thing only, and I guess that's the S protein, but the rest of your immune system is turned off. So the virus, this is how the virus mutates, I believe. I'm going to see if I explain this right. The reason the virus mutates is because it's so fast. This is how variants are created in the vax-injured population, because their immune systems have been so weakened, but they do that the jab actually allows them to have some kind of defense against part of the virus, but the naturally immune, that's those of us who have not been vaccine-injured, have immunity against the entire virus, the shell, the nucleus, the whole bit. And so that's the problem. So what they're bragging about with HIV, Dr. Fascist, National Institute of Health, FDA, CDC, all those folks are bragging. Look at the vaccine. It destroys, COVID. Well, it only does a little tiny bit of it and leaves the rest of it to infect you. It's really pretty sinister and evil. Article says, therefore, if any mutations to the spike protein of the alleged SARS-CoV-2 virus occur in the future, the vaccinated will be far more vulnerable. One more time. The vaccinated will be far more vulnerable and possibly unprotected due to their inability to produce the N antibody, even if they have already been infected and recovered from COVID-19. So the vax, the jab, destroys your immune system and destroys your ability to handle future COVID-19 with reinfection, whereas those of us that are non-vaccine injured, that are doing quite well, thank you very much, have had it, gotten over it. And to me, I would say somewhere between mild and moderate. I don't know what you call it. They weren't quite mild symptoms, but they weren't really, upwards moderate. That's what I classified me. I wasn't in pain. I didn't have a massive fever. I just coughed for 3 weeks. Couldn't do my show hardly at all. And I had sleep sitting up, because if I laid down, of course, I would cough uncontrollably. That was my experience with COVID, I believe. Anyway, there's no point in getting tested. Well, Greg, did you get tested? No, because the tests are all false positive. The PCR test, they recycle that stuff like 40 times. And the test is known to be inaccurate after 20 times. So they recycle it. Magnified, or whatever that process is called. We'll get someone who can call and tell us, 215-383-8832, where they cycle the results, to get, more and more deeply into the sample. If they cycle beyond 20 times, it's only accurate up to 20 times, but they're not doing that. They're cycling it up to 40 times. So they're doing twice as many cycles to look for the virus. So any little fragment of COVID that might be stuck in your nose somewhere is going to show up, as opposed to people that are actually infected with COVID, whether it's, in their bloodstream and lungs and the whole bit. Anyway, it says, whereas the unvaccinated would have much better immunity to any mutations due to their ability to produce both S and N antibodies after infection. So there you go. So the unvaccinated have much better immunity protection. Okay. The following chart, I'm not going to go into the chart. In fact, I'm not going to go into any more right now. There's more to this. I might pick this up later. I might pick this up in the second hour, depending on how much time Chansey has to talk to us. And I have another article on this. But there you go. That should pretty clearly explain that the connection between HIV and AIDS and COVID are all engineered. I think HIV was engineered too. That'd be another story. We should probably look into that as well. All right. I got a new SRV, Santa Rosa Volunteers piece, a new founding moment. This one's on Federalist Paper number 10. It's a little bit long, and then I'll play something in the in the second hour that's really long, but it's really good. I really am impressed. The time when we actually wrote a bill on the air. And so you definitely want to share this show. And again, it's a show I did back July, that would be 5th of 2018. So July 4th, I read, this is back at WBY, 1330 AM, WBY, Northwest Florida's News and Talk Leader. That was the old slogan we used to have. And so the 4th of July, in fact, you'll hear the comments about this in that show. 4th of July, I read the Declaration of Independence. 5th of July, I got inspired. I said, let's write a bill on the air. Okay, and so we did. And then the 7th of July, that would have been that Saturday, put it on writeyourlaws.com, sent it to Matt Gaetz, our representative here, Congress representative. He called the show on Tuesday saying, great idea. And so in 5 days, we had written a bill on the air, put it on an international, you know, legislative website, and got a response from a sitting member of Congress in 5 days. That's how Action Radio works. That really proved that Action Radio works, which is kind of ironic. Shortly after that, I was not on the station anymore, but that's how things work, too. Let me play the Federalist Papers number 10 piece, and then we'll take see if anybody has a call, wants to talk to us for a few minutes, and then I'll play the piece on how we actually wrote a bill on the air the first time, and hopefully that'll be a model for writing more bills on the air. Okay, back in a little. Let's play this here. There it goes. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Federalist Number 10, published on November 22nd, 1787, is a continuation by James Madison of his dire warnings against domestic faction and insurrection. Interesting choice of words. That he began in Federalist Number 9. He engages in the same made-up predictions designed to generate fear for the purpose of ratifying the Constitution over updating the Articles of Confederation. Most of Federalist Number 10 is a total waste of time. It's recycled nonsense from previous papers, and it's boring. However, way down about halfway, it gets very interesting, and that is in the discussion of a democracy versus a republic. Madison says, from this view of the subject, it may be concluded that a pure democracy, by which I mean a society consisting of a small number of citizens who assemble and administer the government in person, can admit of no cure for the mischiefs of faction. A common passion or interest will, in almost every case, be felt by a majority of the whole. A communication and concert result from the form of government itself, and there is nothing to check the inducements to sacrifice the weaker party or an obnoxious individual. Hence, it is that such democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. Theoretic politicians who have patronized this species of government have erroneously supposed that by reducing mankind to a perfect equality in their political rights, they would at the same time be perfectly equalized and assimilated in their possessions, their opinions, and their passions. In other words, according to James Madison, democracies don't work. And he's absolutely right. You can't have perfect equality with equality of everything, everybody, every expectation, and every outcome. The only perfectly equal society is where everybody has equally had all their property and rights removed by a totalitarian government. So much for democracy. That's why the Constitution in Article 4, Section 4 declares that we are guaranteed a republican form of government. So let's see what Madison says about that. He says, the two great points of difference between a democracy and a republic are, first, the delegation of the government, in the latter, to a small number of citizens elected by the rest. Secondly, the greater number of citizens and greater sphere of country over which the latter may be extended. The effect of the first difference is, on the one hand, to refine and enlarge the public views by passing them through the medium of a chosen body of citizens whose wisdom may best discern the true interests of their country and whose patriotism and love of justice will least likely to sacrifice it to temporary or partial considerations. The other point of difference is the greater number of citizens and extent of territory which may be brought within the compass of Republican than of Democratic government. And it is this circumstance principally which renders factious combinations less to be dreaded in the former than in the latter. Okay, well, that's all well and good. We are a republic, not a democracy. But how does this specifically relate to having a union under the new Constitution versus having a confederation under the old Articles? Madison doesn't say. Instead, he makes a rather large leap in talking about a large republic, which the United States would be given the expansion plans in the works. He wants you to assume that a large republic is better managed by the new Constitution over his predicted claims that under the Articles of Confederation, the Union will split into factions. That is really the heart of the hidden argument throughout this paper. He says, "Hence, it clearly appears that the same advantage which a republic has over a democracy in controlling the effects of faction is enjoyed by a large over a small republic, is enjoyed by the Union over the states composing it." By the Union over the states composing it? So much for federalism. This is a statement of a national government system supreme over the states, which was, I fear, the whole idea of the Constitution all along. Also, Madison offers no evidence or argument that a large republic is better than a small one. One would assume that if republics are the best form of government, they'd be good regardless of size. Also, missing is any evidence that the Constitution would prevent factions any better than the Articles of Confederation. I wonder how Madison would have explained the factions that created the Civil War under his very Constitution. Madison asks many rhetorical questions throughout this paper, which are designed to lead you to the appropriate rhetorical answers. However, the connection of questions to the probability of those actual events occurring in the answers is why I challenge his entire line of questioning. In his last argument for the Union under the Constitution, Madison actually argues the inferiority of states to control their factions over the national government, who would never let such factions spread to the other states. He says, "The influence of the factious leaders may kindle a flame within their particular states, but will be unable to spread a general conflagration through the other states. A religious sect may degenerate into a political faction in a part of the Confederacy, but the variety of sects dispersed over the entire face of it must secure the national councils against any danger from that source. A rage for paper money, for an abolition of debts, for an equal division of property, or for any other improper or wicked project will be less apt to pervade the whole body of the Union than a particular member of it. In the same proportion as such, a malady is more likely to taint a particular county or district than an entire state." Well, the rage for paper money is causing economic suicide right now, but I digress. The Confederacy he talks about is under the Articles of Confederation in the 1700s. The Confederacy that seceded from the Union is in the 1860s under the Constitution. That was the greatest faction split of all. Would it have happened under the Articles of Confederation? Unfortunately, we will never know. In conclusion, out of nowhere, with no real evidence or arguments, just peripheral information and rhetorical questions that aren't relevant or even connected, Madison says that it is the character of the Federalist that makes the Constitution worth ratifying. He says, "In the extent and proper structure of the Union, therefore, we behold a Republican remedy for the diseases most incident to a Republican government, and according to the degree of pleasure and pride we feel in being Republicans, ought to be our zeal in cherishing the spirit and supporting the character of Federalists." One has to wonder how Republican remedies will cure Republican diseases. Also, it is that character of the Federalists that the Anti-Federalists are challenging in every anti-federalist paper they write. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. Cool. All right, we're back, and I have more of this article. And I got another one I want to see if I can go through, and then I have a special treat for you. The first show, we actually wrote a bill on the air, and again, back at WEBY. And so don't call in expecting to talk to write that bill, because it was already done. It was done actually 3 years ago, but almost 4 years ago now. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, 2022, 2018. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, especially when you're on the radio. That's why I can see how 30-year careers can go by very quickly. It's quite interesting. So I found this website, Adverse Reaction Report, and they have an article, Alarming Report Explains the Link Between COVID-19, the COVID Vaccine, HIV, and AIDS. It was first published in Scientific Evidence, not Scientific American, Scientific Evidence, last updated 2 days ago. So there we go. So let me scroll down here. Kind of pick up where I left off. And they have this chart. It says, and you can't see the chart, so I'm just going to explain the chart. It says, the following chart shows the real-world COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness among the triple-vaccinated population in England in four-week periods between week 51 of 2021 and week 9 of 2022, using data found in the UKHSA, that's the UK Health Security Administration, vaccine surveillance reports. See, the UK, the British, are much more honest about this than our liars, in the CDC, FDA, NIH, the fascist cabal that works with Big Pharma. This is real-world COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness among triple-vaccinated population in England. There we go. So you can see the chart. So I won't read you the chart. It's just a bunch of lines. But it says, the explanation says, as you can see, the vaccine effectiveness has been falling month after month. So that you do need to know. So that's the important part. The vaccine effectiveness has been falling month after month, with the lowest effectiveness recorded among 40 to 49-year-olds at minus 24, 248. Let me start this again. 40 to 49-year-olds at minus 248.92%. That's minus 250% almost, right? But the sharpest decline in jab effectiveness has been recorded on 18 to 29-year-olds, who probably shouldn't get it. Well, of course, nobody should get it, but the younger you are, you especially should not get this thing, right? The effectiveness has been recorded among 18 to 29-year-olds, falling to minus 201.52% by week 9 of 2022, from plus 10.19% in week 51 to week 2. So that's interesting. So if I make sense of this, week 9, from 10.9 and week 51. Okay, there we go. But vaccine effectiveness isn't really a measure of a vaccine. It's a measure of a vaccine recipient's immune system performance compared to the immune system performance of a non-vaccine injured person. That's my term. They say unvaccinated person. Which brings us to the interesting part of this called VAIDS. Okay, V-A-I-D-S, which stands for vaccine acquired or aided immune deficiency syndrome. And that's why this is not going to be a scientific term, because there is no way that Dr. Fascist, the health Nazis, and Big Pharma, Big Tech, and all the others would want a term like vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome, okay? VAIDS, V-A-I-D-S. So I just learned about this when I read this article. This is all new to me. Article says, I am not the first person who noticed these problems and definitely not the only one. People started referring in common parlance to the immune problems of vaccinated persons by calling it VAIDS. Again, vaccine-acquired or aided immune deficiency syndrome. This term is a colloquial figure of common speech as of now, and it is not yet used in any scientific article. No kidding. However, immune problems encountered by vaccinated people are real. So are reinfections. Here are some headlines. Double-jabbed Brits suffering worst colds ever could have COVID without realizing. This is interesting. Many Brits are currently suffering with intense cold-like symptoms, including a runny nose, a sore throat, headaches, cough, and loss of smell, bingo, which have been hard to shift even several weeks later. I guess shift is what they say for cure. And that's reported by Milo Boyd, News Reporter, updated. That was the 10th of October, 2021. So that's a while ago. So, of course, I think they get the jab first. Oh, I guess it was 2020 that came out. Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. Frequent boosters spur warning on immune response by Irina Angel, A-N-G-H-E-L, January 11th, 2022. So a couple months ago. European Union regulators warned that frequent COVID-19 booster shots could adversely affect the immune response and may not be feasible. Feasible? This is what they call these things, feasible? All right, anyway. Repeat booster doses every 4 months could eventually weaken the immune response and tire people out. So is that what's happening? The more shots you get, the more it destroys your immune system? I believe it. That seems to make sense. They're saying tire people out. Now that's a euphemism for your immune system is breaking down, folks, okay? And that's according to the European Medicines Agency. And I never heard of them either. Instead, countries should leave more time between booster programs and tie them to the onset of the cold season in each hemisphere, following the blueprint set out by influenza vaccine strategies. And that's the agency said. Well, I don't know. Is COVID a seasonal thing? I mean, isn't it around like all year? I mean, that's what we've been told. So is there a COVID season coinciding with flu? Wouldn't that be interesting? All right. Article says, I collect these stories about COVID from COVID-19 positive, so there's a bunch of them here. And they're all, I'm going to read a couple of these. I don't want to switch articles. It says, COVID twice a month, FML. I tested positive on January 18th. Symptoms were fever, chills, body aches, migraine, GI issues. I was sick for about a week and then felt fine. Then on 2-8, this is like a month later. January 18th, so it's like 3 weeks later. Then on 2-8, I had fever, chills, but this time accompanied with congestion, brain fog, and loss of taste and smell. I took a rapid test and PCR test today, 216, and both came back positive. My doctor said I had Omicron and now have Delta. My partner tested positive too today, but didn't the first time. Has this happened to anybody else? Another one here. Not me, but it's a different one. Not me, but a close friend had a positive PCR test in mid-January, along with a cough, stuffy nose, sore throat, and fatigue. Symptoms resolved. Then just 4 weeks later, headaches, sore throat, fatigue, chills came back, only they were stronger. And so this is the pattern. If you look at these, I'm only reading part of them. COVID for the third time. I'm so tired of this. I feel like crud this time. Headache, achy, congested, sore throat. The last time I had COVID about 4 months ago, I had to have, I guess, two liters of oxygen at all times. My body is exhausted. I'm tired all the time now. Do you remember where that fatigue syndrome, I forgot what it was. It was like the yuppie disease. This is back in the 80s. Anyway, I get so short of breath still. Now what am I going to go, going to go through this this go around? So yeah, so this is what they're saying as it comes back. So skipping down through some of these here, the article says all of these reports are highly concerning. Even if each instance of COVID seems mild, their cumulative effect could be very damaging, and that is to put it mildly, to avoid alarmism. Thus, while VAIDS is not a scientific term, we need to start being concerned about immune health of our vaccinated friends and relatives. So that's the thing. Start asking your friends if they have VAIDS. What's VAIDS? VAIDS is vaccine-acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I want you to learn that term. I'm just learning it today. I mean, I read this article before, quickly, but now I'm really digging into it. I actually like digging in the articles on the show with you rather than read them all in advance, so I'm not bored when I read it. And when I discover things in the thing, I bring it right to you fresh and spontaneously. Enough of that. How much time we've got? About 10 minutes. This one's a little shorter, so I'll just get to I'll do this for about 5 minutes, then we'll get into our presentation. All right. This is an article from Sunnyland, S-U-N-N-Y-L-A-N. Change yourself, change your life. And so a big picture of this wonderful Asian woman with a big orange hat in front of a waterfall, just to give you the image. January 22nd, 2022. So this is a few months old, but still current. Pfizer confirms COVID-vaccinated people can shed spike protein and can harm the unvaccinated, which, as we've always said, this is a pandemic of the vaccine-injured and a pandemic of the government-created panic. This is not a pandemic of COVID-19. Okay. Article says, warned how spike proteins resulting from experimental COVID-19 gene therapy vaccines have the capacity to, one, pass through the blood-brain barrier causing neurological damage, two, be shed by the vaccinated, in other words, cast off, right, bringing about sickness in unvaccinated children and adults, three, causing irregular vaginal bleeding in women, and in their latest issue brief, America's Frontline Doctors, the AFLDS, we have all kinds of – that's from America's Frontline Doctors. There you go. Yeah, and they've got this thing, this really disgusting graphic of the brain. And it says the S1 spike protein likely causes the brain to release inflammatory products, causing a cytokine storm in the brain. So that means that these spike proteins are destroying your brain. Let me put it really simply, right? Released last week entitled Identifying Post-Vaccination Complications and Their Causes, an analysis of COVID-19 patient data, the stated purpose of the document is to, quote, provide additional information for concerned citizens, health experts, and policymakers about adverse effects and other post-vaccination issues resulting from the three experimental COVID-19 vaccines currently administered under EUA, that's Emergency Use Authorization, by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. Now, of course, you know, folks, that all this can be stopped. It can be stopped, you know, today or tomorrow by simply, you know, well, it can be stopped. It won't be stopped that fast. But if you simply share our bill that puts full product liability on vaccine manufacturers, they will pull those things to the market. They'll be off the market so fast it'll make your head spin. They will be absolutely taken off and not put back simply because the liability cost of all the deaths and injuries that these people are causing throughout the world would bankrupt their company. And what we really should have is a provision to go after their personal finances for crimes against humanity. And that might be something to do. Let's see if Congress does that. I don't know. I'm going to debate putting it in the bill. But if you put vaccine liability on the manufacturers, they will pull those vaccines. They will cancel their EUAs. And nobody's going to have a COVID shot unless someone really needs it and wants it, and then they can approve it. Okay, I'm not going to stop that. I advise against it, but you know that's always possible. It says the nonprofit organization highlighted the thousands of adverse events which are related to these quote vaccines and captured by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, not VAIDS, VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. Yet these complications have received a fraction of attention paid to J&J's blood clotting controversy. That's Johnson & Johnson. They lamented with dismay, asking why. Well, the reason why is because they're part of a fascist cabal of big pharma and government to push vaccines and make billions of dollars in profit. That's why. Okay. Article says, in taking a closer look at this data, the America's Frontline Doctors presented some major categories of concern as yet publicly unaddressed by either the FDA or the CDC, asserting that failure of these regulators to, quote, consider these and other known unknowns is a dereliction of basic medical research. Well, they're not there to do basic medical research. They're there to make profit. That's why they have. That's why they own patents and own licenses and all those kind of things. The people that are doing this are doing this for profit in the government. You know, they go into government because it's a protected industry. You can't get fired. Look at Dr. Fascist. You know, and you can still make money from your, quote, inventions. Article says, in taking a closer look at this data, AFLDS presents some major categories of concern. Oh, I already said that. They break out their general categories of concern as shown below. First, there are significant fears regarding the wide distribution of these new vaccines, which employ a new technology and remain only experimental without full approval from the FDA. Instead of employing an attenuated antigen response, as happens with conventional vaccines, these experimental agents introduce something called a spike protein into one system. Quote, it takes years to be sure something new is safe. And that's from the America's Frontline Doctors. No one knows definitely the long-term health implications for the body and brain, especially among the young, related to the spike protein. Yeah, it's just ironic that the younger folks who are the most resistant to COVID naturally are being, they're pushing the quote vaccines on them to make them chemically dependent for life on big pharma. And so they're destroying their immune system to increase the market share. That's truly sick, right? Anyway, it says, in addition, if documented problems with the protein do arise, there will never be any way to reverse the adverse effects in those already vaccinated. Let me say that again. And I said that in my PSA. You know, the COVID shot is forever, okay? It says, in addition, if documented problems with the protein do arise, there will never be any way to reverse the adverse effects in those already vaccinated. So tell your friends, tell your family, you know, don't do it if they're thinking about it. If they've already done it, wish them well. I have friends, and I wish them well. I just don't know what's going to happen, and I'm really sorry that I wasn't louder or stronger or more opinionated, but, a lot of folks would have made that choice that they made anyway. Second, back to the article, almost done. Unlike conventional vaccines, these spike proteins, along with lipid nanoparticles, have the capacity to pass through the blood-brain barrier, which provides special protection for these sensitive areas of the body. There simply has not been enough time to know what brain problems and how often a brain problem will develop from that. That's from the America's Frontline Doctors. Risks from such penetration include chronic inflammation. That's swelling. Okay, brain swelling. I think it's called meningitis. Anyway, chronic inflammation and thrombosis, I think that's a blood clot, clotting, yeah, it is, okay, in the neurological system, contributing to tremors, chronic lethargy, stroke, Bell's palsy, and ALS, that's amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS-type symptoms. That I've never heard before. That's new to me, okay, ALS. Yeah, amyotrophic lateral, I don't know where I heard that from. I heard it in a movie once. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, that's ALS. That's a disease that destroys your muscles. The lipid nanoparticles can potentially fuse with brain cells. Let me say that again. The lipid nanoparticles can potentially fuse with brain cells, resulting in delayed neurodegenerative disease. And the mRNA-induced spike protein can bind to brain tissue 10 to 20 times stronger than the spike proteins that are naturally part of the original virus. So there you go. So your COVID-enhanced HIV spike protein is 10 to 20 times stronger than spike proteins that are naturally part of the original virus, which was created also. Third, how many more of these do we have? Fourth, fifth. This is going to go on for a while. So I'm going to stop here. We'll pick up a third maybe in the third hour. So let me hold up here in this article. This is fascinating here. Let me play you my COVID PSA, and then I will return. I'm going to play you my COVID PSA. I don't want to get too sidetracked here. And here we go. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations. Just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country. There we go. So my that last one I made, Biden's Dark Winter, I made that before the November election 2020. So that was a prediction. Unfortunately, way too much of it's true. My COVID PSA vaccine, PSA I made, I think, well over a year and a half ago. So both of these were made way early in the process. And, you know, like, what's the expression? You know, you hate being right, but unfortunately, I was. So let me play this right now. It's about 40 minutes long. That'll take us to the top of the next hour when Chancey Terra will join us. So this was the first time, I think, ever in the history of broadcasting, if I can be so bold and, you know, arrogant, you know, self-promoting here, that anybody actually wrote a bill on the air. Now, we've got the regular caller that used to call in named Clarence. He didn't quite get with the program, but I want to include it anyway because Clarence was a fixture at WBY. And again, any reference to WBY, any reference to the phone numbers, that's because that's what we did then, all right? But you're listening to Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. That's where Action Radio is. And again, our website, writeyourlaws.com. If you want to do live chat during it, I'll be happy to no one's on live chat right yet, but if you want to do live chat during the presentation of this show that we did, feel free. Okay. Anyway, so this is the show where we actually wrote the bill mandating the citizenship question on the census. It was done July 5th of 2018. It was before the 2018 midterms, and this would have had a major impact on the midterms. I think had I been allowed to stay at WBY and continue the work that I did there. And had this bill presented by Max, you know, to Congress, to the media, to the whole country, actually. So let me play it for you now. Again, this is from another station that doesn't exist anymore. It's now a sports station. So any reference other than Action Radio and blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction is what we did back in 2018. All right, I'll be back. You know, some things really make me upset, and this is one of those days. And so I was reading this morning. In fact, I had a bunch of other stuff to talk about, 4th of July, our independence, you know, Action Radio, writeyourlaws.com, all that kind of stuff that I do. And then I read this horrible thing, this horrible, awful decision by this federal judge that they have no right to do the things they're doing. They have no power to do the things they're doing. They have – the Constitution clearly says – They make decisions under the Constitution and under law. They don't make law. And the Constitution also clearly says, in fact, I read it just a little bit ago, that Congress can decide what the law is for the census. And Clarence, I know you're there. I'm going to get to you in just a little bit, but I want to introduce this topic very clearly here for people because it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. In the Constitution, it says the actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years of the first meeting of the Congress in the United States. So the first Congress did it after 3 years, and then every 10 years after. Okay, in such manner as they shall by law direct. What does that mean? It means in such manner as they shall law direct, which means the Constitution clearly says that the Congress gets to direct how the census is done. So all this nonsense, this absolute garbage that, oh, the Constitution says you have to count everybody, it's not there. Believe me, I just looked, okay? It's not there. So you can parade all the folks you want up here and saying things. You know, here's my original contention that still holds. Assumptions are stronger than truth. So some people say, well, it's in the Constitution. So everybody else thinks, well, it must be in the Constitution. Nobody actually checks the Constitution to see if it's actually in the Constitution, but it's not. It says, I'm going to read this one more time. This will be in the interest of accuracy here. It says very simply, Congress shall make an enumeration in such manner as they shall by law direct. So what we're going to do, guess what we're going to do? We're going to write a law. We're going to write a bill in this hour, which I'm going to submit to both Congressman Gates and now my new contact, Congressman DeSantis, who I met this week, and we're going to write a bill, and we're going to get it right to him. This is Action Radio. Let's get to one of our wonderful callers here, Clarence. What do you think of my idea? And then you can tell me your topics.
I think it's good, but, you know, this what you're dealing with, what we're dealing with, mm-hmm. started with Reagan putting a Band-Aid on this.
Yep.
After Reagan, they moved the goalpost toward the deep state. And so that's simply what's going on here with this, with Trump being able to deal with these issues, with the deep state of Walmart is involved with the deep state.
But what do you want to do about it, though? That's the thing. I mean, we can talk about it, but I'm not a talking person. I'm a doing person. What can we do?
Well, y'all can't do nothing because he didn't do nothing for 30 years. So it's
well, that's past. I can't change that.
It's in Trump's hand now. It's in Trump's hand. It's somebody that's a businessman that don't see things the way y'all do it and ain't going to go by the way of doing it the way. He's going to go by the way we should have did it 30 years ago. We should have did it with Reagan.
Okay, that's fine, but that's still past. I mean, I can't change that. I can't change. I'm hoping to change the future. I can't change the past. The only thing we have any control over is the present, and I'm ready to write a bill. I got my keypad right in front of me, and I'm ready to go. So if anybody wants to call us, 850-623-1330. If you've never written a bill, which is almost everybody, give me a call. We're going to write one right now, and we're going to send it to our congressman this afternoon. What do you think?
Let me say this, Greg, because this is what you and your listener need to know. What we're dealing with is a lack of Christianity that started this country. What this country was intended to be, what God mapped it out to be.
Uh-huh.
Every dollar in your pocket got in God, we trust on it. It didn't get on there by itself. Here's what you need to know. I found out that nobody knew who Melchizedek was. That's who Abram met. And that's where our blessing come from when it comes to money. Melchizedek. And Melchizedek basically was Jesus. That's who he was. He was Jesus. And Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. What he said, give to me what belongs to me.
Okay.
Y'all, this society hasn't did that. The schools was Christianity. Everything was Christianity. And we have let Jesus down, our forefathers down on every level you name.
Yeah.
And so Jesus put Trump in there, and Trump is making America great, and Jesus want to hear because
okay.
Jesus is the one made America great. See, it's just that simple.
I believe you. But I got to ask you one thing, and I have to let you go. Do you have a particular suggestion for us that we can add to anything to help the situation? You know, a positive, concrete thing. If you don't have it now, you can always call back, you know, later another time. But I want action, and I want to know what action we can take.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I think what you just got to connect with Trump and his.
There's a good idea. Actually, you know, believe me, I have tried. actually something I can do.
The thing of it is, you have to start with connecting to people that he got in power. In these areas.
I've already done that.
And that's how you get to him.
I know people
who
know
him.
Okay. Clarence, I got to let you go. Thanks, and I really do appreciate your call. But, because I want to move on. It's 8:11, and I do appreciate Clarence. You know, he always has some interesting words for us. But I want to take some action, okay? Who wants to write a bill? I'm serious. Who wants to write a bill? If you've never done it before, you know, if you've thought to yourself, you know, gee, I really wish I could do something. Well, here's where you really can do something, okay? Now, the easiest thing to do, of course, is to once we write the bill, and I put it on writeyourlaws.com, and I send it to our Congress representatives in Congress. You can call, you can support it, you can do what you want. But how many chances have you ever had in your life to actually write the language of a bill? And the bill is very simple. We want to have citizenship on the census. We want to stop this nonsense. We want to stop these judges cold. We want to use that quote I had from the Constitution if you want. But how do you want to do it? You know, give me a call, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. I can write a bill. I can write a bill in 5 minutes, but that's not the point. The point is I want to get you to give it a try. Who wants to give it a try? Give me a call. This is an experiment. You know, it's one thing. You can talk about independence until you're blue in the face. You can go, yeah, it's great. We've got fireworks, and we've got, you know, everything's wonderful, and we've got Trump in power, and that's good. But what is independence? Independence is action. Independence is when you do something, you know, and it's one that we talk about, you know, all these wonderful things. We revel in the founding fathers, and we talk about how great the Constitution is, and that's wonderful. But do you really think the founding fathers wanted to sit around in our butts and just go, yeah, weren't they great? Yeah, we want, you know, it's with the Supreme Court too. Or let's get some originalists. Well, that's fine. But the Constitution, no, it's not a living document that keeps changing, but the spirit of it is living. And the only way that spirit's going to live is if you make it live by doing something. Okay, you don't have to do a lot. Like I say, you can just support it. You can call me and say, hey, Greg, great idea. That's fine. I don't mind that either. But if you really want to take some action, if you really want to, you know, raise yourself to a different level, give me a call at 850-623-1330 and help me write a bill that I can submit to Congress today. See, I feel like a used car salesman. Today, we were going to do this. You know, do you want to write a bill today that I can send in that'll stop anybody except citizens from being counted in the census? That's what I'm doing. And I have a taker, and I got my keyboard ready. Joe, go ahead. What's your idea?
Well, I think you're spot on, and I think that we should add to it, though, that the census is way too intrusive. Asking how many bathrooms do you have and how many bedrooms do you have, it was never listed that way in the Constitution, and I agree with you, and you're spot on also by saying go back and read it, because when I was on active duty in the service, we would get a lot of people come in and say, we have to do this and this and this. And I'd say, go get the regulation and show me. And when we actually read it, it was like, wow, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, because assumption is stronger than truth. Assumption is stronger than truth. It happens all the time. Yeah.
Yep. I make them bring it in and show it to me. And they go, wow, we didn't know that. Well, now we do.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What else do you want in the bill?
Well, I think we need to. The bill is way too intrusive. It just needs to, you know, how many U.S. citizens are living in that house? That's it. That's all they need to know at this address.
Okay, so U.S. I'm writing this as you're talking. I mean, I'm seriously. Yeah. I'm going to put this into a bill. You're going to be able to read this.
Yeah.
You know,
how many United States citizens are living at this address? And get rid of all this other stuff about it's. Greg, have you had the? Do you remember the last census? How intrusive it was? Did you get one of those?
I didn't get a long form. I had a short form, so or whatever it was. I just had the easy one to write, so it wasn't a big deal. Okay, so census.
Right. Well, I keep getting hit up for the long one.
Oh yeah. So you know, all right. So how many U.S. citizens live at this address? Now, do you want proof of citizenship?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so proof of citizenship. All right. So proof of citizenship. How? What qualifies?
A U.S. passport is an excellent way.
Okay, citizenship, we got, I'm actually typing this as we go. So passport, I type fast, fortunately, passport, and I have naturalization papers plus a passport because I'm Canadian. All right, so I got those. Let's go naturalization papers.
Birth certificate would work.
Birth. How about with photo ID?
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, though. The birth certificates don't have your picture because you were much younger then. Do they? What am
well,
I, you know?
Okay. The birth certificate and some sort of. I see the problem with the photo ID is that they gave a lot of those out to illegals. You know.
So birth certificate. If you have the passport, you don't need it. I like the passport. The passport is like the best thing you can have because you can't.
Absolutely.
I'd love to have us vote by passport and have everybody get one. You know, I mean that'd be an interesting thing to do. Well, let's think about that. That might be a whole other bill. You know, voting by passport, and that would bypass all the voter ID laws. So let's think about that for a different time. I'm going to put that down. I love doing this. We're legislating. This is so much fun. If Congress knew what we were doing right here, right now, this would be.
I want you to know that what a tremendous asset you are to the community. We're
you're
here, and thank you. It's really been great. And I'm a transplant here, too, but I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. You've got a great show. Thank you
so much. I really appreciate that, too. And I'm going to save this and pass it on to the boss. That's wonderful. But, so look at writeyourlaws.com, and we need a title for the bill, too. And so I'll work on that as well. But you'll see it. It's going to be out there, and I'm going to post it right on the WEBY Facebook page and my Action Radio page as soon as I get that done. Any other comments? Anything else you want to add to it? Because you're off to a good start.
No, sir. Thank you. Let someone else get on there.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
And they're here.
Appreciate what you're doing. Take care now.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Appreciate it. There we go. So that's Joe checking in. 816, actually 817 now. Action Radio with Greg Penglis here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. We are writing a bill for Congress to have them count citizens only. And I want to know what you want in it. We got to take a break. So we'll be right back in just a little bit. 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio, Greg Penglis, Action Radio Hour. I'll be back. Is there any legislative writing rock and roll appropriate song? That's a puzzler for you, yeah. Well, any good protest song will do at this point. And we're taking action. 8:20 here. If you're just joining us, you're late. We started at 8:05. Anyway, it's 1330. I'm just teasing you. It's 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Action Radio with Greg Penglis. We are writing a bill. We are writing a bill that makes it citizens only for the census. I'm going to send this to Congressman Gates and Congressman DeSantis this afternoon. Once I get all written up, we've got another caller here. Jeff wants to contribute something to the bill. Jeff, what do you got?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I agree 100% that the U.S. citizenship question should be on the census.
Okay.
I also would think, and I'm trying to remember how, you know, some of the questions are very intrusive and some are very vague.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you list the people in the household, there should be documentation, whether it's city of birth, whatever. I mean, you don't have to provide birth certificates and all that, but you need to show where everybody was born. I know there's some type of statement on it that if you sign this, it's a federal crime. I think it needs to be a actual affidavit. When you sign it, and I hate to say it, but I think that another line of bureaucracy should be created to check it out. So if it's falsified, you're going to be pressed with charges.
These are good additions. I appreciate this. So additional, layer of enforcement, should we call that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I hate to say, you know, big government or whatever, but, you know, anybody could put whatever they want on there.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people won't even fill it out because they're afraid of it or whatever, but...
Afraid of what?
I mean, we need to be counted for. Oh, and you know what? There should be a question on it. Should English be the national language?
Oh, I like this. This is good.
Yeah, there should be a question.
Okay.
Even if it doesn't ever come to fruition, there should be, what do people think?
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's ever been thought of. That is absolutely genius. That's brilliant that this would be the perfect time to take a national poll.
Yeah.
You're a genius.
And, you know,
I love it.
And our representatives, see the numbers, they're going to say, oh, crap, maybe we're going to have to do something.
Well, what else should they ask now that we're on the subject? No, I'm serious. You've opened up a whole new topic. You've opened a whole new show for me right now. So national poll during the census. This is great. I love this stuff. This is why no one person can do this, okay? This is why Action Radio is a nationwide phenomenon, at least I hope. But for right now, it's right here. But everybody who's listening has a chance to put something into this bill. And the suggestions we're getting are absolutely fabulous. A national poll. I love this. National poll during the census. This is great.
And you know what? There's also, I would say,
okay.
Another part of the questionnaire, if someone takes the time to fill it out.
Okay.
So we can keep track of people.
Keep track
of
how?
Are you a legal immigrant with a green card and a visa?
Yeah, well, that's another question. And, they should be able to put their number down. I think green card's kind of the number.
That's right.
Yeah, so are you, it's another question, a legal permanent resident? Permanent.
You could provide your same information. You're not allowed to vote, but it does... add to the mix.
Okay.
But illegal? No way.
No. And they're saying, you know, do you believe this bogus reason that people are giving? They say, well, we need the illegals here. We need them counted. We need them, you know, to feel safe enough to report on other illegals who are committing crimes, not focusing on the fact that they're committing crimes by just being here. You know, so this
That's
is such
right.
nonsense. You know, you got some really twisted logic out there. Okay, so let me make sure I got everything here. So we got, should English be the national language? We're going to have a national poll during the census. That is just absolutely brilliant. Are you a legal permanent resident? Of course, and then we'll need the green card number. Now, here's the question. Should legal permanent residents be counted? I think but not for electoral.
I think they should be just put in a separate pool I would think so that our representatives get the full feel of how many of those residents, legal residents, you know, are actually here. It might be able to give them more information as they determine their immigration policies.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
You know, because nobody knows how many of them are here. I mean, come on.
This is a site, Numbers USA. I want you to go to Numbers USA and read their material because they're documenting how legal immigration is going to be a real problem if we get too many people.
I know Trump wants to curtail some of that, and I believe in it too.
Hang on, some more information for immigration purposes. Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you, Greg.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm just writing while we're doing it. This is why it's so active right now. Appreciate it.
It's just off the top of my head.
No, it's perfect. No, I love it. That is national poll during the census is absolute genius. I love it. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now. And that's how we do things here. Lines open up, 850-623-1330. We are writing a bill to track, let me see, immigrants. I'm literally writing the bill as we're talking. Okay, I mean this is Action Radio in action. Let's get Clay on the line. See what the suggestions. Clay, you want to add to our bill?
Yes. All I wanted to add was for the purposes of the census, there should be a question on the census that would tie in proof of citizenship, either by, in other words, can you prove you're a U.S. citizen by birth certificate?
Yeah.
Visa. Passport.
What about visa holders? I mean, we've got green cards, but we should also have
not visas, because that doesn't really apply to citizens, and we want to narrow it down to citizens only.
Well,
but I think the census should, for the purpose of alerting people that they're going to have to prove they're a U.S. citizen, question whether they can prove it by birth certificate.
Now, that's
passport.
Good. That's a good one. And here's what we've got now. So what we're forming is like there's two pools that are going on here. We have the citizens. And I'm going to have to probably sort this out a little bit myself this afternoon. The citizens are one group, and the number of citizens is counted for representation for districts, congressional districts, for the electoral college, for the overall vote, for money, things like that. We're counting immigrants, you know, permanent residents, green card holders, and visa holders, just for the purpose of knowing how many and where they are, but they would not be counted in the pool in terms of anything for electoral because they're not represented. These, you know, permanent residents are not represented by elected officials because they can't vote. If you can't vote,
right,
there's no representation, right? So does that make sense to you to have these two pools?
Yes.
Okay.
It does, because you need to be able to verify who's actually a legal U.S. citizen and then who is here either in the process of becoming a citizen or on a work visa, or just to know what the actual population is.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting to do, because then we can, you know, we should do it while we're thinking about it. We need to have the results published by the Census Bureau.
Yes, and we need to close all the loopholes. That's what legislators look for, is loopholes.
Like which ones?
So we need to be able to close all the loopholes before there's ever a chance to reinterpret.
Okay. Do you have some loopholes that we should close that I can put into the bill?
I'm not aware of any, because...
No, that's okay. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this on the next time. I'll do the news is coming up in just a little bit. So what I'll do, in fact, Brad, I know you're on the line. I'll take you after the news because it's less than a minute away. I'm going to put up a WEBY Facebook page post and an Action Radio post, things you want on the census bill. And so if you think of something, you know, after your call, or if someone can't get in for any reason, we're going to have that there so you can add that. And I'll be writing this afternoon, and I'll let you know tomorrow what happened. Sound good?
Right. Thank you for your efforts. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that, too. And again, so we have news in just a little bit here. And so it's 8:29. This is Greg Penglis here with Action Radio. And boy, are we taking action today. This is what Independence Day is all about. This is us taking action. And this is going to be a real bill. WriteYourLaws.com. You'll be able to check it a little bit later on. And so 1330 WEBY Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. And we're going to get to Brad when we come back. This is really exciting. I can't believe the response. Thank you so much. But now you can feel like you're a citizen legislator. And that's what it's all about. I'll be back after the news. Needless to say, I've been very busy the last few minutes. And so, you can't miss it. So I've got a nice purple, blue, pink, and whatever color. The question is very simple. Go to the WEBY Facebook page or my Action Radio Facebook page, and it's right there. What do you want in our Action Radio census bill to make sure that only citizens are counted? Write this law. It can't get simpler than that, so just put on it what you want, and I'll be looking at these things a little bit later on. Let's get to Brad, who has some suggestions. Brad, what do you want in the bill?
Well, I'd like to write a different bill. I'd like to write a bill that eliminates the census, and here is my reason.
Okay.
Number one, the government is already tracking every person in this country through NSA and through the National Defense Authorization Act and that supercomputers they have out in Utah. They know every person that's in this country, whether we believe it or not, it is true. And secondly, let's look at what the census was meant for and what the reason we even had a census to begin with. Of course, it's a taxation purpose mainly. but it's become more of a divisive and a dividing method for the powers to be to divide us. But I say get rid of the census. Look at the money that could be saved. If we think that the government doesn't already know every one of us through licenses, Social Security, registrations for guns, whatever we do, whenever we apply for anything, it goes into that government database. They know us already, and they know our color, our lives, how we live, what we buy. Everything's in that computer.
And it's not as if Facebook and their marketing department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So why not just get rid of it? Let's just, instead of playing their game, why don't we get rid of?
Well, it is in the Constitution.
To save all that money.
It is in the Constitution, so I'd have to as a constitutional amendment within the bill, and so
sure,
I can do that.
No problem. No
yeah.
problem. No
Constitution.
Problem.
That's
because again, it's worth it. It's old technology. It's old school. They have the technology right now, and they're tracking us every day
yep.
on what we buy.
No, I think I can write this
peers.
Up. I think I can write this up pretty well. So all we'd have to do is just take out the section that says, if anybody wants to find this, Article 1, Section 2, it's the third paragraph, talking about representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. That's the old language, I think. What it says here, the actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years of the first meeting of Congress and within every subsequent term of 10 years. And so I guess the term, that's why they do it on the even years. You know, here's the key part, in such manner as they shall by law direct. Well, what if the law directs it not to do it at all? I mean, would it require a constitutional amendment? If Congress passes a law saying, yeah, it's in the Constitution to do a census, but we have determined we no longer need one because we have so much technology and other means, you know, would they be required to do it? You know, so let me put that in the bill, too. So put in the section.
That's my point. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate your call. There we go. Okay, so, yeah, the call's coming in fastly. I was going to say fast and furious, but we know what that's about. That was about the Obama administration giving guns to drug dealers so they could create mayhem, and we lost one of our Border Patrol agents, Brian Terry, over that. So I'm not going to – that's not how I want to relate this. Okay, 838. We have a little bit of time left. So if you want to get a suggestion to me right now, if you want to talk about it, a bill – to make sure that only citizens are counted on the census. And Brad was saying he doesn't want a census at all. And that's a very interesting idea. You know, and you think about it, how much information they do have on us already. Phone number here, 850-623-1330. That's 850-623-1330. If you want to get in on this, if you've never written a bill before, why not? Come on. You know, try it. And then, you know, the best place to do it is right here with me right now because I've got my little keypad. I'm typing away all these suggestions, and they're going to go into the bill this afternoon. And you're going to find it on writeyourlaws.com. That's our bill writing website. That's where you're going to find a ton of bills. And I have stuff there on juries being fully informed of their right of nullification, of asset forfeiture for all illegal aliens on their way out the door, because anything they gained here obviously was gained while committing a crime, you know, that of being in the United States illegally. You know, I've got things on making sure that Congress – you know, never spends any, they can't borrow any money, not spend, they can't borrow any money as long as there's a national debt. So they have to pay off $20 trillion, unless there's a declared war, you know, so that's part of it. So action, so writeyourlaws.com has a lot of fascinating bills. Dr. Peter Pry, when he was here with the electromagnetic pulse, he has three bills that he had in his book, but they're hard to find. Now they're on writeyourlaws.com. So we, and those are being circulated as well. We have that family law bill from Michael Volpe. You know, talking about family courts as almost racketeering between the conspiracies between the judges and the attorneys and the horrible decisions they make. And, there was a kid that was put in foster care recently who died in foster care, would have been just fine at home. So, you know, all these things are happening. So you want to go to Action Radio. Anyway, the Action Radio Facebook page and the Action Radio with Greg Penglis podcast page. Podcast is where you're going to find the shows. Action Radio Facebook page is where you're going to find all the action. And we got calls coming in like crazy now, which is great. I love when this happens. And I'm writing a bill. I actually am writing a bill as we speak. You can't do this in any other show in the country. Nobody does this. This is here. This is it. And so we get to go take this to Congress, and hopefully Congressman Gates will kind of pass this around like he did that first email, you know, my famous peace sign to a gunfight, which in a way inspired a lot of the FBI hearings that are going on. Let's get to, we have a pastor on the line, Pastor Blanchard. Pastor Blanchard, go ahead, sir. Or man.
Yes, hello?
Hello, yeah, you're on the air with me.
Great. I just want to support the interesting perspective that your previous caller just mention about the supercomputers.
Okay.
So I don't think the Constitution actually defines how the census is undertaken.
Nope.
So whether it's by pencil, by pen.
Hmm.
So could we redefine the actual census by a computer program that is approved and all the data that has been requested by the previous callers could simply be added to that program with a matter of five programmers. So I think it's a great idea, and I do think that it's still in line with the Constitution. So thanks for bringing up that great idea.
Thank you for this. Do you have a second before I can ask you a question real quick? Although I hear some static on your line. Kevin, let me put you on hold. Yes, I'm sorry, Pastor. It's getting a little bit louder. Let me try one more time. Are you there still?
Yes.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of stuff in the background. Let me work on this. This is an interesting perspective. And let me so listen in, and if you have further comments, you can put them on our WEBY and the Action Radio Facebook page. All right, so I'm going to let you go now, only because I'm hearing some loud thing in the background. That was great. Let's get to Nancy, who has something to add. Nancy, what would you like to put on our bill?
Good morning, Greg. First, let me tell you, I loved your program yesterday.
Thank you.
I thought it was super, super inspiring and patriotic.
I'm so glad.
How about if the states take their own censuses and
Brilliant.
Send the data to the federal government? We do that for everything else anyway. Then the feds don't have to incur such a debt.
I love that idea. The states take their own census and then send the information to the federal government.
The only problem I see with that is how do you keep the states honest enough to make sure?
How do you keep the federal government honest enough?
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Well,
but congressional districts don't cross state lines.
True.
So states can do this just fine. There's no reason why. The Electoral College is by state. Okay?
Yes.
So this is
yes.
brilliant. This is another brilliant. I love this idea, too. So I'm going to put that in. So the states take their own census. I'm going to put that in. Oh, this is great. Do you want to add to that?
I don't have anything. It was just that one blind look. Thought.
No, but first of all, thank you for yesterday's show, because I know it's a holiday and a lot of people didn't get a chance to hear it, but I read the Declaration of Independence and there was a bunch of other stuff. Did you like my redo of the poem for the Statue of Liberty, for example?
I have some mixed emotions about that, and I'm not really I need to go and read the actual text of it again.
Okay. I'll post it for you.
The patriotic music and that your reading of the Declaration was superb. I like that people in different places take the time to do that at least once a year.
Well, I'm going to do it next year. We're going to keep
Super.
Doing it.
And I'll be here.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, we had a couple of great calls. We got nothing but great calls today. This is amazing. All right. So that is a fascinating idea. The states take their own census and then send that to the federal government. I still have to think more about the idea of the supercomputers that Pastor Blanchard was saying, and because it's like voting machines. Can they be programmed? And so that's going to be the question is the check on that as to how much they can do that. I'm typing and talking at the same time, so I hope I don't say anything here. And sure, there we go. Okay, so we have brilliant ideas. We have the states who did the census. We have, Brad was saying we don't need a census at all because we have all this technology to do it. We have, verify who are the legal citizens. We do that by a bunch of different ways, separating visa holders and permanent resident immigrants out from the pool of representation. We've got actual affidavits, like an IRS form. That's another idea. So all these ideas have come in. And, I'm going to see if I think I got one on Facebook right now. Let me take a look at Facebook right here. We've got too many computer screens open here. This is what happens when you multitask, okay? Okay, so there's another great comment here we have on Facebook, WEBY page. Do respondents have possess a proof of U.S. citizenship or resident status through any of the following, birth certificate, passport, or visa? Yeah, so that seems to be a common theme. So not only do you want the citizenship question, you want proof of citizenship as well. You know what I should do? Because that I did write a bill on. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. Anyway, so let me see if I can drag that one out of Write Your Laws. I might post that as well. Let's take a little break right now. It's 8:45. We've got a little bit of time left. If you want to get in on this, and of course check all the bills that we have, there's about 60 of them that are in the process right now at writeyourlaws.com. That's WRITEYOURLAWS, writeyourlaws.com. And this is Greg Penglis. This is Action Radio, and are we taking action today? Oh, did I strike a nerve today? This is great. So you're listening to Greg Penglis here, Action Radio Hour, 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. And my question is very simply, what do you want in our Action Radio census bill to make sure that only citizens are counted? Okay, it's very simple. That question's on the WEBY page. It's on my Action Radio page. And we're going to podcast this probably this afternoon. I think we were going to be moving on this so you get to listen and figure out all the things that people are saying. I want to go to Marshall right now and see. Marshall, what do you want to add to our bill?
I want them to take all references to race off of the census.
Okay. Brilliant. I love it. I'm going to write this down here. Let me think for a second. So all references. How about all references to race in the federal government?
Absolutely. You know, Trump just pushed through a thing where the colleges can't use race anymore to determine who gets in.
Yep. Actually, I posted an article on that. Heritage Foundation had one. It's on the WBY page as well. And so you can check that out. Absolutely. And it's about time. I mean, this whole idea, this is the thing that disgusted me the most about the resegregation president, as I call him. You know, Obama took everything and based on a race. And that incredibly insulting line he would use, you know, nobody looks like me, for example. You know, I mean, nobody looks like anybody. Exactly. So, I mean, it just infuriated me.
It just recently came out, you know who the most racist employers in the United States are?
Probably the government.
No. Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay, so how do we word this now, Marshall? So all references to race in the census and all reference to race in all matters...
Federal government.
In all matters of the federal government are abolished?
Yeah, and it should be the state government also.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be... Well, you know what? I have to write a separate... But well, first of all, the census isn't in the states yet, although that's one of our provisions, is to knock to the states. Once we get it to the states, then we can put that provision. Does that make sense?
Yes, just to register a small complaint now.
A small complaint about what? Yeah, go ahead.
Your guest that you had on Friday lied like a government official when they said that most of the new AIDS cases...
Oh, yeah.
Come through heterosexual sex.
Yeah, that's. I want to save that for a different time. I like to keep my topics to the same show, if we possibly can. But yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, check her out before you let her back on again.
Okay.
That was
you know what though, and I like to have all points of view if I can possibly get them. Let me write up your.
Yeah, but then get on the air and lie.
Well, you know what, and one person's, you know, yeah, I'm just going to let my guests, whatever they said, I'm just going to let that stand on their own. I'll tell you, I have to let you go because I got another call. I want to get more input on this bill.
All right, I'll appreciate it.
Oh, no, listen, hey, Marshall, that was a great addition to it. Pete, what do you got for our bill here?
Hey, Greg, how you doing, sir?
I am well.
We yes, but it's a good time, you know. Oh, we have to have race included in that. What good is a census if we don't know what race they are?
Why does that matter?
Because we're trying to find out what's the whole purpose of a census.
But racist, it's one person, one vote, not one, you know, white person, black person, Asian person, Hispanic person. Race has nothing to do with how we vote.
Can I finish? We're not talking about how we vote. We're talking about a census and how many people in America, let's say 300 million. We know there's more than that.
Right.
But let's say 300 million. In the census, we need to find out how many are male. How many are female? How many are of Asian descent? How many of Negro descent? How many Caucasian?
No, I disagree completely. I think you're absolutely wrong. No, I don't think.
Okay, well, what's the purpose of a census then?
To count the number of people so that the congressional districts and the electoral college votes can be decided, and they also use it for money and things like that. But what's that?
A census every 10 years is only for congressional. Brownie points? I don't think that's true, Greg.
Well, I can read the Constitution right here. I can tell you what it's
okay,
for. It's
well,
in it's
also,
an article. It's in Article 1, Section 2.
But what I'm saying is the purpose of a census, I thought, is to find out how many people are on this soil. How many?
No.
I understand.
Not at all.
It's not.
No, it's actually for taxes and for.
For electoral votes, right?
What's that?
That's what you're saying? I'm just asking, but this is the question. Is the census in America every 10 years only for the tally of electoral votes question mark.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. Hang on. No, don't. You know, we only got a little bit of time left, so if anybody else wants to call. And if you don't get a chance to call, go to WEBY Facebook page and my Action Radio Facebook page, and you can add to this bill, because I'm going to be writing this, 850-623-1330. All right, Article 1, Section 2. It says, representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included in the union according to their numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of the free persons, including those. The actual enumeration shall be made with, okay, we got that before. And it says here, you know, it doesn't say anything about dividing by race or for money or for budgets. Things have been added to the census since it got started. But the reason here is very simple. It's about representation. It says, you know, term every 10 years in such a manner as they by law shall prescribe. The number of representatives shall not exceed for one. Yeah, it's basically for the House of Representatives is the major reason for the census. Because it's population. Yep.
People are saying is illegal aliens have the right to vote.
No, they don't.
Things up.
That's not true.
I'm not saying that. Some people are.
They're wrong.
Purpose of electoral votes is to count how many people go in the district so you can be represented in your district, so that's where you get the brownie points. But look at the Second Amendment. They say the ownership of fire or weapons or arms shall not be infringed. Look how they infringe that. I'm a 21-year-old boy. I have money. I want to buy a gun in Florida. I can't. I gotta wait one more year. So I'm 21. That's being infringed.
I'm not saying it's followed exactly, but I tried to follow. You know, I can't, if I'm talking about the census and I'm writing a bill on the census, I can't then add a section that's going to correct the Second Amendment. That's a totally different issue.
It's wrong to find out how many people in America, how many black, how many white, how many yellow.
I don't like that expression. Pete, you've made that point. I'm going to let you go at that particular point. But I don't think it matters. I mean, like I say, if you're apportioning, if you're taxing, it doesn't matter what color it is. I'm with Marshall on this one, that we need to completely eliminate all mention of race in all parts of government. I mean, how can we be a united country if we're still dividing up by official government policy? That makes no sense. Let's get to Josie. A couple minutes left, Josie. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. When the census came out, a lot of the left were upset because they were asking for citizenship. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great idea that you guys were talking about. Citizenship will be excellent.
Okay.
And I just wrote a bill, and you helped me, put it together, too.
Yes, and we got it to Sean Hannity. We got it to Representative Ron DeSantis. Yeah.
Yeah. So fingerprints. ID will be excellent, too.
So then
that way we know who's legal and who's not legal from America.
Do you want fingerprint ID not just at the voting, but do you want it on the census as well? Because that would really complicate it.
I think on everything in America should be excellent.
Okay, so voter ID by fingerprint. So census count. Let me add this. So then census count would be by fingerprint then, you're saying, right?
Yes.
So you'd have to go to a census counting place to actually do that then.
Well, whatever it takes.
Okay.
Know?
So think about that. Think about that, you know, the cost and the how you would do that and the legality of that, because I want to see if you can add that to our Facebook page later on at some point today. Think about how we can count people if we require fingerprints. It's not a bad idea. It's worth considering.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thanks very much, Josie.
You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You have a blessed day, too. There we go. In fact, we're almost done. This hour has absolutely flown by. Thank you all so much for your suggestions. They're going into the bill. I will write it up this afternoon. I'll put it on writeyourlaws.com and then to the WEBY and the Action Radio Facebook page. If I'm not here, I'm on the Action Radio Facebook page. I'm on the Action Radio podcast page. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you the results. Okay? Have everything. And that's how we did it back at WEBY, and that was 4 years ago. And, of course, the last caller, Josie, has been consistently calling Action Radio. She does her Latino report on Tuesdays. And so back to regular life here. This is now, you know, March 23rd, 2022? Yeah, there we go. And that was 4 years ago we actually did that. And that's how we did it. That's how we did it. WBY had a ton of callers. I had a lot of people that were checking in with great enthusiasm. And that bill that we wrote on that show during that hour, I posted, I think, about a day later to writeyourlaws.com. I've now posted again to my Facebook page and also our public page, the Action Radio group. So you don't have to be a member to read it, but you do to post there. But you can read that bill, the mandatory citizenship question on the census at the Action Radio group. And that's the one that's the first time we wrote a bill on the air. As far as I know, that was historic. I don't think that's ever been done before. And then especially we got it to a member of Congress, Matt Gaetz, who then shared it with members of Congress and the White House, and then the Supreme Court ruled against having a citizenship question on the census, which is an illegal ruling, because the idea that you can't check citizenship for a census that counts citizens is irrational. All right, let's get to Chancy, and I'll be right back. What is health? What does it take to stay healthy? We have a longer lifespan than 100 years ago, but is the quality of life any better? 100 years ago, their food was better. They got more exercise. They weren't as fat. They didn't have preservatives, antidepressants, sugar in everything, and they didn't have vaccines. If you talk about alternative healthcare, people think of crystals, incense, strange candles, crystal balls, Ouija boards, notions, potions, lotions, and total hippies telling you to detox, man. So let's change our system of sick care into wellness. Let's get healthy. Let's lower our stress, stop taking in poisons, eat and drink organic, clean food, and let's have a chat with Chancy Terry, because this is Wine, Weed, and Wellness Wednesday. Good morning, Chancy.
Good morning.
I'll tell you, this has been a fascinating couple of days. Yesterday, I covered how the petroleum industry under John D. Rockefeller completely took over our medical schools, took over the medical industry, destroyed natural medicine, plant-based medicine, chiropractic, acupuncture, 7,000 years of Chinese medicine, and converted it all into a petrochemical, mass-produced megalopolis. And then today, in the first hour, and I'll probably cover it if you leave early, about how HIV is in the COVID virus, and it's also in the COVID shot, and how it's reducing the immune system of people incredibly. And so the more COVID shots you get, the lower your immune system. And part of that's because I think of the HIV that's there, which is human immunodeficiency virus. It's a virus that actually lowers your immune system. So if you're getting a, quote, vaccine, which we're calling the snake oil jab, you're actually lowering your immune system, making you more susceptible to every disease under the sun, making you more dependent on the chemical immunity, allegedly, that's coming out of big pharma, as opposed to your natural immunity, which doesn't cost you anything. Just eat well, sleep, you know, have good nutrition, exercise, some vitamin D from the sun, and away you go. But I don't know how much you've been able to follow, but it's been a pretty incredible 2 days in terms of health and the whole medical industry. And so with that, I turn it over to you to talk about if you have comments on that or anything else, you know, that you want to bring up this morning. That's where I kind of have been the last couple of days.
Well, yeah, I think it's just one of those things that us in the wellness industry, that's why we're in it, is because we're tired of people taking it and making it something that it's not. And so per se, I read the article about the petroleum and then I wasn't able to listen to anything, but I mean, yeah, that's why we do what we do, is it's, they've taken it, they've put things in it, to make medicine not what it was meant to be. So I'm very passionate about getting back to the earth. So like I'm studying mushrooms right now. So people need to get back to basics, and that's all I know. I mean, yeah, we're killing ourselves because we keep taking pills that they say came from something, and then they add something to it, and then they add more to it, and that's we get to where we're at. So that's how we get on opiates, and that's how we get on everything else, because, you know, opium was okay for some things, and now we've turned it into a pill that you take every day for just minor pain. The little things that the body can't handle in big doses, we're telling them to do that daily. So it's not cool at all.
Well, that raises a couple of good questions. So what's with mushrooms? Mushrooms, you know, they don't use photosynthesis. Yes. They don't have chlorophyll. They're not green. They grow in the dark, in the mud, in the dirt, you know, in the damp, in the dew, and so they're a fungus technically. So, but penicillin's a fungus too. So are they related somehow? What have you learned from mushrooms?
Well, what I'm studying right now is the fact that they're not a plant, that they're a living organism, and our bodies use them energistically, as in they do what they're supposed to do in our body. So like reishi, chaga, and lines main are the three main ones that I'm getting into right now. And it's, we should have chaga every morning, we should have lines main in the midday, and we should have reishi at night. And so just very anti-cancer, anti-tumor, because like we've talked about, cancer is a mold. Mold is cancer either way. So either, you know, there is no 100% research saying that they are one and the same, but they cause each other. So the immune system being attacked by mold allows the cancer to grow, and or mold caused the cancer to be there in the first place. So there is no definite answer on that, but either both of them play hand in hand. So with mushrooms being the just life of the planet, they are everywhere. They are under every tree. They are helping every plant grow. Then our
body. How
do
they do that? How do they help the plants grow?
That's too much, but that's
next,
a lot.
Next week? Tell me next week.
Yeah, sure. It's just basically, like, they feed each other. They feed the plants from other plants. So they make deals. They're like little drug dealers under the ground. They'll make deals with one plant to get something from their root if they provide them something. So they'll take from a root something that a plant needs, but then feed that root something that that plant needs. And so they
are
interwoven under everything.
Yeah, I think the term is symbiotic relationship. I'm thinking of my high school biology.
Yes.
Lichens.
That works.
Lichens
yep.
are part fungus,
yes.
part moss. And so
yes.
things that grip onto concrete, but they actually are two organisms that have found a way to live cooperatively together.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
not like a strangler fig in a tree, because those are parasites. But like a fungus and a moss, they get together and they do their thing. And they're stronger because of it. So they have the symbiotic.
Yes.
But we have a symbiotic relationship with our bacteria, our gut bacteria.
Yes.
You know, we give them a nice home and they digest our food. It's a great relationship.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is fascinating. So now mushrooms, do they aid in that process by chance, by keeping our good bacteria healthy? And because penicillin is, I think, an antibacterial, do mushrooms, in fact, help us by killing off bad bacteria in our body so that our good bacteria can keep us healthier? Is that a possibility?
Yes. I think it balances out. Like it allows the body to eat up what it needs to eat up and it and leave what is important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I can be so disgusting in the morning here, poop, isn't that a product of the bacteria, technically?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And we need that.
Sorry, folks,
we need that to
breakfast.
Be... Well, no, you're fine.
So this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, we need...
So, okay.
Uh-huh. We just
ahead.
Need it to come out. We don't need it to stay in. And so a lot of people, it's staying in. And then the body starts using the toxins in a different way because it's been in the colon for so long. So
that's
then that's when you
gut.
Get colon cancer and you get, because it's feces sitting in there from, you know, months before. So if you're not using the bathroom, which is where activated charcoal is what we talk about. If you're not
right.
using the bathroom at least once a day, it's you have a problem. And then most people, it should be 2 to 3 times a day. And I have one functional doctor who believes every time you eat, you should excrete. So, And so there's different things to it. And it's, you know, the length of your forearm. So we can get into a lot of details about that. But and that's what needs to happen is people need to talk about it. Their doctors are asking them, maybe the doctor is asking them, how's your bathroom if they have problems like that? And then they're like, oh, it's fine. And then they don't ask them anything else. It's like, okay, well, what does it look like? What is it, you know, does it float? Does it not? So you got to get into that. And nobody wants to get into that with their friends and even their massage therapist. But, I mean, I've done it, but I try to get into it with people because it matters. So.
Well, you can do it on this show. You know, we are the cutting edge of freedom, and that includes things that no one else would ever talk about. I just remember reading that poop is a bacterial product. It is the byproduct of the bacteria digesting your food. So you don't actually make it. They do. So it's actually a foreign substance in your body. If the bacteria are making your poop, you know, then that actually is a foreign thing. So you want to get rid of it. So are people, are they kind of like storing it? Are they not? We're going to get real graphic here, folks. I'll do my best to explain this. Are people not getting rid of all of it each time that they hit the bathroom? Is it, you know, and of course, intestines, if I remember, the intestine is only one cell layer thick. And if you have what they call a leaky gut and you've got extra poop,
yes,
then that's actually going mm-hmm. through that barrier. And the reason it has to be one cell layer thick is because that's the only way that the nutrition in the small intestine can get into your bloodstream. It has to be able to pass through. But what you don't mm-hmm. want passing through is the poop. You know, you don't want the
– right.
If you have a leaky gut, if you have lectins from plants and things that actually cut into your mm-hmm. gut, cut that one cell layer, then you're basically leaking poop into your gut. And so you're putting the poisons that the bacteria have created as a byproduct of digesting your food that you're supposed to get out of your system. It's actually remaining in your system. And you're saying that's causing colon cancer and God knows what else.
Yes.
How am I doing?
You're good. I mean, that's what people, you know, that's the research that's out there, and that's what we're hearing. And then medicine is doing that. So big pharma, mm-hmm. pills, anything that you can think of that was not naturally meant to be in our bodies is causing leaky gut. And then everything that you're taking is leaking from your gut into your bloodstream. And if you're not doing something to go in there and grab it up, which, mm-hmm. again, there's things that do that. So it's just sitting in your colon. And that's when you get cancer and you wonder where the cancer came from. And it's like, you haven't done anything, you don't think, but you have.
Yeah. Well, how prevalent is colon cancer? I know it's the number two cause of cancer deaths. I don't know what number one would be. What's the number one cancer? Skin cancer?
How prevalent is colon cancer?
Well, it's the number two killer. I've heard the commercials. They're advertising it all the time on the radio, which I find interesting. But what's the number one cancer that kills people?
I don't know. I can look it up.
Well, we can do that. Yeah. Instant response radio here. But I know colon cancer is number two. And when you think about it, it shouldn't be. And as the commercials say, you know, this is the most or one of the most preventable cancers if caught early. And so I just had my 5-year check. I had like 2 polyps 5 years ago, and they said, come back in 5 years. And I had 2 more polyps this time. They said, okay, you're fine. Come back in 5 years. So I get like this 5-year maintenance program that I'm on right now. But it's nice to know that I don't have, you know, a whole bunch of polyps or a whole bunch of potential for cancer. So but I have a pretty good diet. You know, there's lots of fiber, lots of good stuff, lots of nutrition, very few lectins. I've kind of cut those out. I've cut out the carbs. I've cut out a bunch of things, and I'm on my way down to I'm on the second half of my 100-pound loss. I'm on the back 50. So I reached the first 50. So now we're losing the back 50, and it's all because of all the stuff that you tell me and the research and you know, a lot of starvation between, you know, 2 p.m. and 4 a.m. the next morning. I get really hungry at night, but it's working. So, you know, all these things are working together. But yeah, the colon thing. You know, so the colon's not supposed to store poop. What's it supposed to do? What is it supposed to do?
Well, I mean, it is supposed to not store it, but it's supposed to hold it and then eliminate it. So, and pull nutrients from our food. So as it's turning it into stool, it's supposed to get what it needs from it and then excrete it, put it in the body the way it should. But since our food is full, it's zero nutrient halfway nutrient.
Right.
It's not nutrient dense, you know, anymore like it used to be.
Yep.
So we do not get that. So it tries to grab what it can, and it's grabbing its synthetic vitamins. It's grabbing it just random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not create.
Yeah, eat a lot of strawberries and blueberries, folks. That's the new thing. Strawberries and blueberries, they're full of vitamin C. They're full of they've got the right colors. They're red and purple, you know. And so that's important. We should talk about the colors that you need to eat, you know, because the more colors, I think, the better from what I've heard. Okay. You mentioned something earlier, opium coming in pill form. What would we commonly know that as? You don't go to the store and buy opium. So what is that pill? Are you looking it up? I think she's looking it up. We'll wait. Go ahead.
Oxycontin, Lortab.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Got it. So opium pills, the modern version is opiates. Yeah, Oxycontin, hydrocodone, which is what I took after my heart surgery, in about a quarter of the amount they wanted me to. I didn't want to get addicted. Yeah. Okay. So that's right. So those are, wasn't there some bill on that recently? I think there was some kind of legislation limiting
because they create the pill and then they create the pill, which is the problem. And then they're like, oh, wait, we created a problem. Let's now create a way for people to get off the problem. And then let's give them another problem like Suboxone or something like that. That's like a prescription heroin. and then we let them take the heroin for a while, and then they overdose on that, and then we give them real needles so that they can go out into the world and do actual real heroin. So it's
clean needles. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get them addicted to something that we can't give them anymore and that they need stronger so that we know they'll go out on the street, purchase it, because the government owns half the drugs on the street, so then they benefit from that. So, you know.
Wait. What did you just say? The government owns half the drugs on the street? Explain.
That's my opinion.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Explain.
What'd you say? What was the last thing?
I said, Lucy, explain.
Oh, Lucy, I don't know. I don't
that's
know enough.
That's an I Love Lucy reference for those of you.
I do.
You know, under
40. I love Lucy. Yeah. I used to watch Nick at Night every single night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I Love Lucy and all them. But The government, I don't know. I mean, there's no way to prove it unless you are in the government. But they literally take drugs off the street and then put them back on the street through other people. So, and then they know that that makes money, and then they arrest the drug dealer again, and then they get a drug dealer to turn in a drug dealer, and then that means his bond is $1.5 million for selling an ounce of weed, whereas the person who raped someone in the street, theirs is $40,000. So they know. I mean, it's a money game, and that's where they eventually – it's the war on drugs is non-stoppable unless you just get – I don't know. You completely clean up the government, which is what we're doing.
Well, you
trying to say right
DA.
Now. Same thing for this.
Abolish the DA. That'd be a good start. And then we'll do the ATF
while
we're at it.
Well, and then
we'll disarm
them.
The federal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we'll disarm the feds because they have no constitutional authority to carry a firearm. There's a lot of things we can do, but this is very interesting that you're saying that the first thing I was thinking while you were talking was Chicago. You know, we could clean up these Chicago gangs. We could arrest the Chicago gangs. We could disarm the Chicago gangs. We could seize the drugs from the Chicago gangs. We could stop the killing every weekend of young black men killing other young black men in the Chicago gangs. But we don't. And what would be the motivation of that? The government is in the drug and gang business. Now,
exactly.
Would you like to look into that, or shall I? maybe I could ask Piano, who talks a lot about Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good, because that's why I've quit looking into stuff. I'm just one of those people where I'm like, I'm going to find the opposite and I'm going to find the truth, and I don't know which one's real. So I just go by what I'm – people that I know that tell me things. And so maybe if they want to research it, they can tell me, and then I believe them, because there's only a few people that I believe. But article after article, they change it, they rewrite it, they take words out of it. So we never truly know the truth. And that's where we've gotten here lately. There's not even – there's slim choices of sourcing that someone's not corrupt and writing the article in their favor. So.
Yeah. In fact, we had that puff piece by the petroleum industry that I talked about yesterday, and they talked about all the wondrous things that the drugs do. The ones that stuck out. When we were talking about, let's get back to our poop discussion because it's funny, even though I'm a radio station doing it. But mineral oil literally is oil. It's refined, but basically you're swallowing petroleum. When you put petroleum jelly on your body, you're putting oil on your body.
Yeah.
And those are some of the earliest forms of what I'm calling petromedicine. And so when they say mineral, it literally is oil from minerals. You know, that's what it is. And so, I mean, your car uses mineral oil before it uses, well, the airplane engines, they run it on mineral oil before they run on what they call ashless dispersants. So it's oil that gets rid of the ash, so your spark plugs and all the things stay cleaner, which is important in an airplane because when the car spells out, you pull over. In an airplane, you have to glide somewhere. So it's a little different situation.
Like our
engines in the airplanes, yeah.
Yes, and that reminds me of, like, Vaseline. Like, everybody used to say, well, my grandmother used Vaseline on her face for years. And I'm like, that's why she's preserved, because you're literally preserving the body when you put that stuff on there, but you're also causing cancer. Like, the body is absorbing everything that's toxic, and it just so happens that their body weren't as toxic back then. So a lot of people now are doing what their grandparents did and feeling like that's going to be okay. Well, when their grandparents did it, it was real. It was real vegetables, real fruit, real all the things, real meat from a cow next door that wasn't sprayed with pesticides on the ground. Like, so, well, I eat like my grandparents. Yeah, we can't do that anymore, because you're going to get obese and you're not going to have nutrition. And then if you're using the same skincare as your
is your grandmother. It wasn't the same. Nothing is the same as back then. And so we always try to go, like, copy something that worked for someone else, and you can't do that unless you want to third-party test the Pond's face cream and realize that it's literally cancer that you're putting on your face. Because, again, people were living too long. So let's put stuff in stuff that people use daily that slowly kill them so that we can't tell them that that one thing killed them when they die.
Well, who gets the advantage from something like that? So what is the advantage to the medical industry that wants to spend as much money as possible? You know, they spend, 90% of the health budget for everybody in their last 2 years of life, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Mm-hmm. So who's benefiting by killing people off early?
I think that is. That's it. Like, if you get them sick, then they need you. And so if they're never sick and they don't need you, you're not making any money off of them. So get them sick and make them need you, and then there'll always be another sick person. So you just keep making people sick. And there will always be new people. So that's where I was talking to somebody the other day. They're like, they're trying to depopulate the world. And I was like, yeah, that's their goal. But new souls come into this earth every single day. Like, there will never be a depopulation. There might be a slump. And that's because God chooses to, like, hang on a second. Let's not create more people because the world sucks right now. But that's my opinion. And I know that's not everybody's opinion. But we will always be here. I mean, like, this, I don't know. I guess the world can end, but that's a whole other subject. But it's like, it's always going to happen. They will always have money. And then they're going to come out with a cure that heals you. So you got these people who are sick and dying, then you make money off of them because they want to take something that gets rid of what you created, the government or Big Pharma, which is coming next. I mean, they're already creating the air misters that you spray in the air right before you take a breath. What? So you're telling me that the air that I'm breathing is not safe? Oh, thanks. Now you're going to help me with that, even though you created it. So it's you just got to look at it from outside and realize they want our air, our water, and our earth. So,
yeah, it's interesting. In fact, I'm working with Jen Clark in Australia, and one of our Bill of Rights is the right to a natural environment that has been unaltered by either cloud seeding or GMO. Well, I don't know if it's GMO stuff, but in other words, that's one of the concepts we're working on. We're still trying to formulate it, but yeah, that's part. And this is why the Australian Bill of Rights is so fascinating. Is this is the first time this has happened, probably certainly in 200 years here. But I don't know when the closest thing. And it wasn't even a Bill of Rights, it was a Bill of Globalism, was the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which is opposed to individual rights. It's actually a group rights bill. It's a group control bill under the globalists. And so that's and that's what people think of as rights. And so we're having this incredible discussion in Australia right now. In fact, I was on a show last night, kind of late.
Wow.
But that's part of it. That's part of it is the difference between, you know, what they're calling human rights and individual rights. And people are like, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is if you're in the United States, the Constitution's written for Americans. It says we the people of the United States of America. It doesn't say that we the people of the world. It doesn't say we the humans. Because, you know, if citizens of Madagascar or Thailand or New Zealand, you know, or France, you know, want our stuff here under the Declaration of Human Rights, they have every right to your stuff as much as you do because they're human. Okay, so obviously they're human. So this is why you don't talk about human rights. You talk about individual rights because individual rights are for citizens in a country with a border under a constitution. That's the definition of a republic, defined rights.
Yes.
You know, and defined laws. That's what makes a republic over democracy, where the majority votes, you know, whatever they damn well please, you know, including a lynch mob. You know, and so that's the difference. But getting this new philosophy, you know, especially to Australia, a nation that doesn't have a Bill of Rights and doesn't have the common experience of being able to say, well, this is my right. They can't say that because they don't have those rights enumerated. And this is what makes this whole discussion so fascinating. Anyway, I'm going to look into Chicago. I'm going to look into a bunch of things. Yeah, do you have a comment on that?
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, I hope it happens.
I do too. Well, I'm going to share it as soon as I can. I mean, it's really up to Jen. It's her country, you know. So I'm here to help.
Yeah.
But it's I'm always conscious of the fact that this is an Australian Bill of Rights. So yes, I'm going to help write as much as I can. But it really is. It's on them. Just as if I redo an English Bill of Rights or a Canadian Bill of Rights, redo our own Bill of Rights here.
Yeah.
Oh, you damn well bet I'm going to be on the lead on that one. Yeah. In fact, some of the rights are so new, so good, talking about digital tracking, talk about, you know, all kinds of different things, updating it to modern day, modern, you know, free speech includes all telecommunications, the free access of information and everything else. Some of these things are so new, we may want to adapt them to our own constitution. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going.
Yeah.
With. Okay.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any comments on that? And then I got another question for you.
No,
you
I'm good.
To report. Okay. All right. So one of the things I discovered in this whole Rockefeller petroleum, you know, the petroleum, for folks that missed the last couple of days, petroleum is in those casings. You know, take those capsules. Those capsules are petroleum based. So you're putting oil directly into your body. Okay. Mineral oil for laxatives is putting oil directly into your body. Vaseline petroleum jelly is putting oil right on your body. Okay, so this is they can sell. It's like fluoride. You know, the fluoride in the water is industrial grade. Mm-hmm. It's not pharmaceutical grade. So what you get from your dentist is the good stuff, pharmaceutical grade fluoride, which is very different from industrial strength fluoride, which is in the fluoridated water, which is actually an industrial waste product. We should talk about that someday. But the question I have for you is that as we go, you know me, once you get me started, you know, just wind me up.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
go.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Rockefeller started the American Cancer Society. This, to me, seems a little bit of a contradiction. So the Rockefeller Foundation, with all their oil money, you know, the companies that were broken into, what they call the Seven Sisters. So Standard Oil was the oil company in the early 1900s. Rockefeller was probably the richest person that will ever live because of such a huge concentration of wealth. Standard Oil was broken into the companies we know. Mobil, Chevron, Texaco, Exxon, Gulf, Arco, and I think there's a couple, maybe Marathon and Sunoco. Those are the, you know, however many, those are the companies that all came from Standard Oil. So why would a company like Standard Oil, you know, fund the American Cancer Society?
Money. I mean, he knew it. Yeah, he's a businessman, so he saw it. He saw that all of his products cause cancer. So let's again create the cure for the problem that we created, but it's really not the cure because the money doesn't even go to cancer research. So you make people think that you're trying to help them, and that's what the whole world is about. Just like the shot, let's make people think we're trying to help them and we're killing them slowly, but it's their fault because they chose it. So let's make them guilty so that we hold no responsibility whatsoever because they chose it. We didn't force it on them. We didn't force them to take that medication. We just prescribed it. We didn't force them to have that shot. We told them that they should. It's like if somebody tells you to jump off a bridge and paradise is below you, you'd probably find a different way to get off the bridge.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd take the exit ramp. Yeah, exactly. So this is fascinating. So,
exactly.
So the model. So let's follow this through a little bit. So the model. I don't know how much time you have, but you know, feel free to let me know when you only have a couple of minutes.
No. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
But the model established by John D. Rockefeller, where Standard Oil took over the medical schools, gave all the medical schools grants, insisted that they only teach what I've learned is allopathic medicine. In other words, Western pill patented medicine, where they changed the med schools. We learned that from Dr. Briglione when we went to a talk that she gave, you know, a couple of months ago about how in med school, they've gone from choices when she was there to algorithms and to, you know, if you want a cure, you just put in the algorithm and it'll tell you what the cure. In other words, it's mechanical medicine. It's medicine by computer program as opposed to actually practicing medicine, which folks like Dr. Viglione and Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Mikovits, the people that actually, well, she's a PhD. She's not an MD. But the thing is, they know from experience and what works as opposed to the algorithm that the government that tells you to do it. So this actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
The model is, let me see if I can just follow this through for a second. So the model is Rockefeller, you know, creates the medical products, forces the medical schools to sell, to teach doctors that these are the only medical products you can sell. Apparently it's illegal if you have cancer not to give chemotherapy, radiation, and I think there's something else in there, that alternative medicines are actually illegal. And doctors can lose their license if they prescribe anything other than, you know, the approved oil company medicine. And so then they start the American Cancer Society for the people that do get sick. So now they're making money at both ends. They do the fundraising for the American Cancer Society. The American Cancer Society never cures cancer because that would put them out of business, right? And so they maintain cancer. So the medicines that they create cause cancer. The Cancer Society they create supposedly cures cancer, but it doesn't. It perpetuates cancer. And so we have all this cancer out there for no reason, something that we could take care of. Now, you're never going to eliminate it, but you could certainly reduce it a whole bunch. You know, like I said, I did the colon check. I've reduced cancer chance in my body through good nutrition. And obviously I was proved that again, you know, I did that second check. And so you can never limit it, but I had skin cancer. Now, is that because I worked in the sun for 10 years and put sunscreen on every day? Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I thought I was preventing, you know, skin
exactly.
cancer.
Exactly.
And I may have been actually causing mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Right.
Who knows?
And that's the thing is that's what, you know, we're doing that exactly right now. There's a new cancer, and it's HIV, and we have it again. And it will be here, and that will be the next thing. You'll be having people pop up with HIV, and then it'll be like, well, where'd that come from? Well, you were injected with it, and now you're spreading it. And that person may or may have not got the shot as well. And so now you're wondering if your husband or wife cheated on you. And then you're going through, or your partner cheated on you, or you somebody lied to you, you know, and it's fear, fear, fear again. And that is what they love. They love to keep us in a fear state of mind so that we choose out of fear instead of love. And there's only two ways to choose, fear, love. So if you're choosing something because you're scared of it, it's because you're fearful, you're choosing out of fight or flight. And if you choose out of love because you've had time to rest and digest and think of that answer and choose it. And they don't want us to have time. So they take away our time. They rush our time. That was another thing that I've researched lately is how elastic time is and how our time now is going by faster than it did however many years ago, and it's because they've sped it all up. I mean, like, we're always looking at the clock minute by minute, and the minutes are faster, but we don't know that because the minutes are the same on the clock. Like, it's so wild. And but it's because and somebody said the other day, it brought up, they were like, I'm 67 years old, and it's crazy. I don't feel 67. I said, you're probably not even 67. You're probably like 60. You've probably been here the equivalent of like 64 years, but there's no way to know that because they keep teaching us what a day is and what an hour is and what a minute is and what a second is. And so we just believe that instead of just living and not putting a number to anything. Yes, get to where you got to be on time based on society, but what does it matter? How many days that you're alive or why do we have to put that into years? We have to put that into years so that they can create policy. So over 60, over 65, retire here, retire there. So you're always trying to get to this new number. And again, they're controlling that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that every year that goes by, the year is the same length, but it's actually a smaller portion of your life. So me in my 60s, a year is a 60th of my life, as opposed to when I was 5 years old, a year was 20% of my life. You know,
right.
Big difference.
Yes.
And so time, I think, appears a lot slower to kids because they have so little life experience. And the older you get, it's not that time goes by faster, but it actually is a smaller portion of your life. And so it seems retrospect, you know, as a faster portion, you know.
Yeah, and it scientifically is going by faster. Like, I can't tell you the article and the date and the time and all that, but they've studied it, and it's different. Like, the clocks are different. They're spinning faster, so a minute is faster than a minute was however many years ago. So that's why
I'm
going to
challenge
that.
I'm going to challenge that theory because I think it's based on.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, because
Here's why. Our time is based on physics.
Look it up.
Based on the sun. Based on the Earth's rotation around the sun. So unless the Earth is physically spinning faster, the Earth is now closer to the sun, and the Earth is actually moving faster around the sun because we define time as our rotation of the Earth and by our time around the sun. And our seasons are defined by whether the sun is at the Tropic of Cancer for the northern hemisphere summer, and the Tropic of Capricorn for the southern hemisphere summer. So all those folks that saw Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn and didn't realize those are the zodiac signs. June 21st is Cancer. Okay, that's why the sun in the Tropic of Cancer is in the zodiac sign of Cancer. Okay, so astrology and astronomy actually merge at this point. The Tropic of Capricorn is wintertime is Tropic of Capricorn is January. And so this, it's actually December 21st. That's the shortest day of the year. So Capricorn, I forgot my dates on Capricorn, but Capricorn is somewhere in December 21st is somewhere in the sign of Capricorn. That's why the sun is at its highest in the southern hemisphere in the Tropic of Capricorn, and it's at the highest in the northern hemisphere in the Tropic of Cancer. And there's no coincidence; they're 6 months apart. You know, so you've got the summer solstice, June 21st in the north, which is actually the winter solstice in the south, southern hemisphere, and they reverse. So this is just, so the earth wobbles, and this is why we get seasons, okay? And so unless the earth is wobbling faster, spinning faster, getting around the sun faster, or is closer to the sun, you're not going to change time on earth.
Yeah, and we are. I guess that's what I mean, is that the earth is rotating faster than it was 4.5 billion years ago. That's what the article was about. And, like, again, it's an article, but it made so much sense to me because everybody talks about that. And they're, like, saying scientists have developed atomic clocks that kept time based on how electrons in cesium atoms fall from the high-energy excited state back to the normal state, like all this scientific stuff. But I believe it. I believe that the earth changes on a daily basis, and there's no way that we can, like, come up with a way and then it stay that way. So, yes, we tell time that way, but who says the earth doesn't change and the planets don't change? They change all the time. So why can't they spin faster? And we've done it by making
the world.
I'm not
saying it can't happen. I just want to know what – I want to know what the physics is. We've got lasers.
I mean, I don't know how it's doing it, but it's doing it. And,
okay.
Yeah, and that's who
well,
I am. I'm like,
send
I don't
me
really...
the article.
But
yeah,
yeah,
let's wrestle over it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm
I know
curious.
I said that a minute ago. I'm like, I believe half the articles I read, but some of them come from sources that I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So, because
yeah.
We're doing that. We're such in a rushed state. And I don't know. I guess I just pay attention to little bitty weird things that may be by happenstance. But, like, certain cell phones being off in time, how is that possible? If you're beside someone and they have the same cell phone and cell phones run off the same cell tower thing that tell you what time it is, those are supposed to be the exact same. They should turn the minute at the exact time. So that's why I don't believe time is what it is. And that's a whole nother show.
Okay.
But, you can,
well, like I say, I'm not
you,
discounting your theory. I just want to try to wrestle.
No, yeah,
I want to do the usual. Yeah, I want to do my usual reason and logic.
Yeah.
Let's put it through the reason and logic, grinder,
reason
and let's see what comes out. You know, and I did that with everyone.
Yeah, and
you know, I challenge Josie on things. You know, and until I get
glad.
The evidence and we reason and logic it through. Yeah, she knows.
Logic doesn't play a big role in my life. So I think that's also where, like, people are like, well, logically explain that. And I'm like, I don't really care to. I just live it. And so that's great.
Okay.
There needs to be people out there who look at the logical side of things so that people who think people like me are always up in the clouds can kind of bring it down. Because
well, see, I'm both
I got
places.
Too much going. Yeah,
you know,
I got too much going
I'm
on
as much,
to stay down here.
I'm as much, you know, crazy optimist as I am, you know, logical.
Yeah, and
person.
You got to be because you deal with so much. Yeah, you've got to – well, because they got to say, well, Greg said or, you know, Action Radio said or whatever. So everybody always wants proof. But that's also part of R&R Wellness is quit looking for proof in someone to tell you how something is supposed to be and see what it's like. Like, take this supplement, do this thing, and see what it does. Just because the CDC doesn't tell you to go out there and raise your vitamin D – doesn't mean you shouldn't raise your vitamin D. If you raise your vitamin D and you feel better, why does the CDC have to tell you that that's important? So everybody's always looking for someone to tell them what matters when I want people to take that and do it themselves.
This is a big point. This is a really big point. They're looking for a government source to tell them. And this
is
what we have to – this is something that we really have to make clear is that if the government says climate change is real, people are more apt to believe it than if Gregor Wrightstone, my friend who has the CO2 Coalition, who's an internationally known and respected climate geologist who really does know about climate change and says the Earth warms first and then carbon dioxide increases, which actually would go with your theory. If the Earth is warming first, it might be closer to the sun by a small portion because the sun's activity is a little bit less and the gravity field of the sun is increased for some reason. So we're a little bit closer now. So, you know, this is how I would logically and rationally and reason my way through what you're saying. But let's put some of these other factors in. But because of the government source, the government and people, it's the same thing. They're more apt to believe Dr. Fascist, you know, than their own experience. You know, when their friends get COVID for the fourth time.
He's
still there.
I know, it's so funny.
There.
He's doing that, though. He's like, I'll just tell people I'm retiring, and then they'll start looking into me more and like, oh, bless his heart, he's retiring. We love him. We don't want him to leave. But anyway.
Well, he's got $10 million that he didn't disclose. Senator Marshall from Kansas found that. But there's an article. He's total scum. You know, he's right up there with Dr. Joseph Mengele. You know, in terms of using this country as a biological experiment for these unproven gene therapy shots. Yeah. Well, here's one. This is, you know, I'm calling it the DemoCon variant. Just in time for the election.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. The demo. It's a demo. It's a demo for Democrat and con for con. You know, it's a DemoCon election variant.
Sure.
So beware of the DemoCon. Yes. DemoCon. Because Dr. Fascist is a Democrat. He loves Hillary. They're always working together. And I'm trying to find a nice connection between them and the Clinton Foundation. So here's an article, Spencer Brown, Town Hall Magazine, March 18th. Fauci warns Americans to get ready for a little bit more of the masking. Well, isn't that special? So it says in a series of interviews on Thursday, Dr. Fascist, my term, reemerged from wherever he's been laying low. So again, threatened that Americans must be, quote, flexible, which means do what I say, and be ready to return to mask mandates as the so-called stealth Omicron, in other words, the election variant, subvariant of COVID threat. Yeah, so characterize these in different terms, it makes much more sense. You know, so this is, you just start calling it the election variant. I kind of like that.
Yes, there we go.
But why aren't these people challenged? What is it? And you must find this out too, that people say, well, I don't know if the government approves of this, therefore I don't know if I should do it, even though, you know, everybody else they talk to says this works great, you know. So what is it about government, that official stamp of approval for an organization that nobody particularly likes, you know, government, but they have so much power over people. Where's that come from?
I just think it's programming. It's TV. It's this. Let's push it in people's face. The government approves this. This is approved. And then money, because they're paid. Companies have to get their approval to put something out, like has to be FDA approved to put it on the ship, those kind of things. So we think because that it gets that approval that it's a thing, and that's completely opposite. It's like I was telling somebody about the essential oils yesterday, and Young Living essential oils, they have a vitality line that you can cook with, internally ingest. It's approved by the FDA. It's called our vitality line. Well, it's the exact same essential oil that's in the other bottles. It's just, we had to put a white label on it so that people know that they can ingest that. So it's one of those, like, it's so backwards that it's because they want to be involved. And when they're not involved, they don't like it. And it's like a little kid, like, I want to be in the sandbox and I want to play. And so they figure out how they can get into every single aspect of health and wellness. And then that's how people think health and wellness is. Well, if it's not approved by them, then it's not health and wellness. Actually, I want something that's not. I want something that's not approved by them. So if
we didn't have a National Institute of Health, a Center for Disease Control, and a Food and Drug Administration. Do you think it would be better off?
I don't know. Yeah, with the way that it is now, for sure. Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So none of these are constitutionally
authorized. But if we took it away right now, no.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Like, if we took it away right now, people are so ignorant and, like, just, it's not their fault. Like, they're just uneducated because they choose not to because they think it'll be there for them. We would fall apart. People would be drinking bleach and all the things. So you got to have something out there now because we've got people too far in. But yes, before that, if they weren't here, it would have been great. Yeah.
Because there was a time, you know, snake oil. I talk about the snake oil jab. But for those that don't know, there were people that actually would. And that was the euphemism. That was the big joke. They'd bottle God knows what. Oil. well, this is back in the 1800s, so it could have been, you know, horse manure. I mean, who knows what was in this stuff? They called it snake oil, and it was a tonic, and they put their own label on it, and this tonic will cure everything. Snake oil, you know, this is for whatever ails you. This will take care of it, right? And they used to do this in the 1800s, and this is where the Food and Drug Administration came from, because people are unscrupulous enough to put, you know, whatever they want. You know, bathtub gin, you know, when they were making alcohol during Prohibition, for example, a lot of people were getting killed because it was, you know, like 200 proof, it was pure alcohol, and people were just dropping dead, much like they're dropping dead from the Pfizer shots right now. So I see a place for health regulation, mostly for research and discovery. But when they cross over into being able to patent the things that they create, you know, when the government agents can patent and make money off the royalties, that's where the problem, that's where the conflict of interest is in, because now their allegiance is to their own pocket, not to the public health. And so that's where they lose it. So if they can do the discovery and the research and present the research and say, we don't think this is, you know, a good thing, or actually to warn against certain products, that would be a good function. But I still think it could be done at the state level. You might have a federal investigative arm, but not an enforcement arm because the enforcement doesn't exist in the Constitution. So it's like the FBI.
Right.
You could have an FBI that does all the investigative work, keeps the fingerprints, keeps track of all the DNA stuff. You know, they're an investigative agency, but the actual enforcement is still done by state police, local police, county police, you know, city police, things like that. That's a plan I've had for a while, too. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, not letting people choose. So put a label on something, put what's in it, put what it can do, and then let that person choose. And if they choose it and they die, it was their choice. But no, we allow them to sue the company because they didn't know, and they didn't know this, and they didn't know that. Then the FDA can change the label. And, like, the GMO thing is changed to bioengineered, and so you don't even know what you're looking for anymore. So you're just out there floating around trying to make the best decision you can. But I don't know. The answer to it is light, sound, and water, and you got to have clean versions of all of it. And so as long as you do those three things, they can't control you as much as they are now. So control what you hear, control what you – the light you see and the water that you intake. So
yeah, I'm going to get that.
And that's where you can start.
I'll get that Australian Bill of Rights so you can comment on that. But this is fascinating. So you're talking about – so they don't say GMO. They don't say genetically modified organisms anymore. They say bioengineered. Mm-hmm. That's the new euphemism?
Yeah, bioengineered. It's a new label. So it won't – they took away the non-GMO label that us wellness people look for because we're always looking for it to be non-GMO. And now that's not going to be on there, and it's going to be like something that says that it's bioengineered. But it's going to look healthy. So it greenwashing, basically. So it'll be a pretty little stamp that says it, but that's telling you that it's not good, if I'm reading it right. So, again, you just got to know who makes your stuff and where it comes from and the company. You can't trust the product. You got to look at the company. Just because it says organic and it says non-GMO and it says all the things, you got to know what that company stands for and what they do, where do they get their food from, where do they get their stuff from, how do they grow it.
There's a new bumper sticker out there from us pro oil people for vehicles rather than running out on corn oil salad dressing that in fact I think Gregory Wrightstone posted this on his page. He said my car runs on our organic oil because all oils are organic.
Oh, I love it.
It's an organic
I love
chemical
that.
So oil for your cars is great. I mean, gasoline is a wonderful product that breaks down into ultimately carbon dioxide and water. Water helps the planet, and carbon dioxide helps the plants. So that's a fascinating thing. We've done shows on that too, but it's just interesting the way they're labeling. Labeling is now the food labeling when they do the calorie counts and the like the sugar, the added sugars, the grams of sugar, and when they do the percentage of RDA required daily allowance. How accurate are those? They seem to be pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And that's another thing I also think is what's got in people's heads as well. So it's like, yes, we know we're not supposed to intake more than like 54 grams of sugar a day. So that helps. But I'm on the line about that because I'm like, I think labeling has created mass dieting that was not needed. So we're counting calories, we're counting carbs, we're counting proteins. When really we just need to eat real food and see what happens. So, yeah, if you eat 17 Twinkies, you may gain 5 pounds. But that you might could eat one Twinkie, and it's terrible for you, but you enjoyed it, and you had a moment of bliss, and that in turn was over the Twinkie. But you don't want to eat the Twinkie 100 times. So now we've decided, well, I'll just go by labeling. So that's what I have these very – health conscious people who are just super about the label and they look at calories, sugar, carbs, and protein. Well, they'll eat chicken in the chicken biscuits, the little crackers, it's chicken in a biscuit or something and they taste like chicken. And I'm like, because it has protein and vitamin C in it. And I'm like, but that's terrible for you. So they'll eat a whole box of them, you know, and think they got their calories in, they got their carbs in, and that's where we've messed up. Is like we've gave
it's
things
all synthetic
names.
It's all,
yes, but it's synthetic.
But because it's on the label, look at the keto diet. You know, they call it dirty keto. People are like, well, I can have all this and I can have all this. Well, they go buy a pound of bacon from Piggly Wiggly that's been by a pig that's got, you know, and they eat the whole pound of bacon. And it's because
wow.
they've been told they can have all the bacon, all the cheese, all the fat that you want. But you're eating sliced government cheese that is plastic when you burn it. So we're giving labels way too much credit. And that's where, and too much power. So just, I don't know what the answer to that is, but definitely don't always just care about the label. See how it makes you feel. Because I can eat really clean stuff sometimes and it makes me feel like crap. So I'm like, well, I bet anything, who knows what their sourcing is. Maybe it was sprayed with something or maybe, you know, it was cross-contaminated with something. So you can't always just trust, you got to go how you feel. And we're not getting into our feelings. We're not getting into our beings of how did that make me feel.
Okay.
Did I wake up the next morning with puffy eyes and a swollen gut? Don't eat that again. So it's we need to get our power back.
Most people, I don't think, are as sensitive to these things as you are. You're hypersensitive to food,
yes.
to differences. And so you should be like the official taster for all of us. So whatever affects you badly, you know, we make a list of Chancey's chance foods, you know.
I told my husband. Yeah, that's so funny. I said, I think I was created to be like a hound dog for bad things. And
I think so.
Or even bad environments. Like I can go into a restaurant and stuff, and that's fine. But I also think that people are sensitive, but they don't know it. So they don't understand that rash on their arm is from something they ate. They don't relate it because they're not taught. Or they wake up with a little bit of fluid under their eyes and they don't relate it to what they ate the night before. They just think they're tired. So that's where diet is huge. Supplements are huge, but people, it's hard. I mean, I can't educate everybody, but I think that's what people need to start seeing is that their body will tell them. It just tells you in a way that you may not know what you're being told. So, and that's when the more you learn your body, the more you know what is what.
Yep, and lose weight.
So,
my eyes used to get watery at night, and now they don't, you know. So,
yes,
so that's
exactly.
Good. So all these,
and that's the, getting all the toxins out, using the bathroom more. Yeah, and people, and again, I see all these people doing these diet tests, and they're told they're allergic to all these foods, and then they cut out all these foods. Well, you don't cut them out forever. That just means you can't handle them right now per that test. That's why some of these tests are a little bit deceiving. Like, you eventually probably can eat chicken and eggs again, but because your body's so toxic, it can't handle the load of a synthetic body being eaten. Like, you can't eat another embryo and expect your body not to try to break it down. And then if your body's not able to break it down, that's when you get the egg allergy and all that. And then you add in that most shots have byproducts of eggs in them, so you go back into the whole vaccine injury is pretty much every one of us. But I know you have like 4 minutes left, and it's been a great morning. And if you need to finish your show, I will get off. But
no, you can stick around. I'll tell you when.
Tell people how to get
I don't know if you get I get the 1 minute 30 second warning, so I get the 90 second. I get the 60 second. So we got a couple minutes. No, this has been fascinating. So believe me, I'll tell you when we're done. You know, because I'll say, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty. But I like to maximize our stuff here because this is so fascinating. But labels, you know, I read labels. And I do find them interesting, but I do know that they also change. People should know that the definition of natural is not natural. Natural is like 80% natural, so they get to squeeze stuff in there.
Yes.
You know, when they say, you know, free of contaminants, well, they can still, like cereal can have a certain percentage of bugs in it. So just to let you know, all your cereal contains a certain percent, not a high percentage, otherwise you'd see the bugs, you know, walking around in there, but there's a certain percentage of ground of bugs in your cereal, okay? It's another reason I gave up cereal. It's like, oh, hell, I don't want that. But everything has a meaning. Organic has a meaning. And so I'll tell you one of the ones that always frustrates me is people when they get beef, all right, for example. So you want to buy a great piece of beef, and you're going to the store, and you're looking at your ribeyes, and you're looking at your, different cuts of, it's like ribeyes and T-bones. They're like Winn-Dixie had T-bone sales for a while. And so the grades of beef are prime and choice. Okay, which one's better?
Mm-hmm. Prime.
I mean, they both sound good. Prime is better, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, prime is better.
But if you didn't know.
But choice, they want you to choose the choice because it'll kill you. But go ahead,
Well, why does choice kill you over prime? What's the difference? Is there more organic?
Well,
or
I think choice is less of a quality of meat, and it doesn't have as many standards but that word makes you choose it because they know how to name something. And so you
right.
choose it, and then it's got synthetic hormones and pesticides and all that, and you're choosing it every time because it says choice. Yeah.
And Prime doesn't
and
have
Prime
that?
And Prime is a little – right. Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the company. Yeah, you have to look into that. But the Prime is supposed to be better, which to me, it means that it still has the exact same ingredients. Like they fed the cow the same stuff. It just may look better. It may be a better cut of meat.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how they
unless
do that.
Unless it says grass finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless it says grass finished or grass fed, I don't buy it. So.
Yeah.
But and most of those don't.
Yeah, I was trying the carnivore thing, and I wasn't losing weight.
Yeah.
So now I've cut that. I'm back to, you know, salmon, eggs, you know, normal stuff for me. Back to my old diet, chicken occasionally, not often.
Yeah.
But cheese. Where does one get good organic cheese? Is it a separate company?
Well,
do you go to your deli counter, or where do you find that?
I get it at Publix and Everman's. I mean, you got to look at the back of it and see what's in it. And so if it says organic milk and then enzymes or whatever the thing is to, it'll tell you like the bacteria that's in it. I don't know. Cheese is a weird one. Like we can have it and I think our bodies are meant to have it, but you just can't trust it anymore because you don't know where the milk came from.
Yeah. Yeah. And so. My Greek Mediterranean background, you know, I went without calcium for a while because I didn't want to get a kidney stone. I told you that story. And by going without calcium, I actually got a kidney stone. Now I eat all the dairy I want. I'm fine. So my confession of the day, if I confess up before my alternative medicine nutrition, you know, guru here, is that you got to reward yourself a little bit, too. So I had, we got about 10 seconds left, but I buy like four of those Hawaiian sweet rolls, you know, over the course of a week.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I know, but I had two this morning with two big slabs of butter on it, and I feel great.
Yes.
So, but I'm going to hit the gym this afternoon, too, so it works out. Okay, now we're done.
Yes.
Now we have to go.
Okay.
Give your contact information,
thank you, Greg.
And then we'll get out of here.
Yeah. No, it's chancyterry.com, chancyterry.com. You can find me on there. And I look forward to helping everybody figure out their life.
I appreciate you being able to stay a whole hour today. This is good. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks,
Chancy. It worked out. And I'll see you next time. Take care.
All right, sounds good.
Bye.
Okay, bye now. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Our legislative website, writeyourlaws.com, writeyourlaws. Back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock Central. We're at 6 to 9 every day Central Time. And so 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific, probably 2 in the morning Hawaii time. And the rest of the world, well, you guys will figure it out.